And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report for today. It's Thursday, February 7th, 2013. It's a live broadcast. I'm Doug Hagman. With me is my son, my co-host, Joe Hagman, in studio. And folks, you're about to hear 3 hours of just an incredible program tonight. Normally, every night, we talk about news, analysis, information that you need to know in these perilous times. Of course, folks, we broadcast live each and every weeknight from 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. For new listeners, we're getting a lot of new listeners. That's Monday through Friday, 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can find us on the Internet at our home base, which is homelandsecurityus.com. And, folks, if you have the capability, you can also watch us live as we're simulcast in high-definition video on the Christians United Broadcasting Network. And we want to welcome as well a couple of new AM stations, one in California and another in the Midwest, and then one up in New Hampshire and in the New England area. And we want to welcome them and welcome also the listeners who are gathered in a diner in the middle of the country, and want to say hello to you folks listening via their internet to this program. Joe, welcome to tonight's program.
Glad to be here. Real excited about the guests we have on tonight.
Yes, absolutely. And I want to thank everyone for joining us, too. You join us every night for relevant information, analysis, news, topical events. And folks, we have tonight with us a gentleman who read a book, or actually wrote two books, 3 Days in the Belly of the Beast, but his sequel to that, As the Darkness Falls, subtitled Things Are Not What They Seem. Now, his name is Daniel Holdings, and let me tell you a little bit about Mr. Holdings. He's a former businessman. He's an award-winning public speaker who's turned author, and he's a good writer, a great writer, as a matter of fact. Native Californian, and he often says that he just woke up a few years ago. And in that waking up experience, he experienced a very significant paradigm shift in his thinking. And when I read that part of his bio, I thought, man, that's just like me, and haven't we all? And that awakening has made Mr. Holdings very aware of an ominous and foreboding feeling that is looming over the totality of people, I think, who are sensing an imminent transition in this country. And haven't we talked about this day after day and program after program, this foreboding feeling, this feeling of imminence, this feeling of the transition. And regardless, whether it was back at the end of the Mayan calendar, or whether it's the all but certain global financial collapse that's looming, the sun going wild, the sightings of objects in the sky running rampant, or Planet X, or the increased demonic activity, or the small country of Israel being at the epicenter of a looming third world war, that it's going to usher in basically Armageddon. Mr. Holdings understands what we're feeling, and he's written about it. Now, as a consequence, look, Mr. Holdings has made it his purpose in life to research the facts. We don't have fictional authors on our program for the fiction. We have authors on the program because when fiction meet facts, or the books are driven by the events of the day, they become relevant. Now, Mr. Holdings, his work is birthed from the need to make sense of the many small, individual, seemingly unrelated pieces of information and understand how they all fit together. And then he takes those facts and puts them in a story form or a very casual conversational approach so that the average person, you and I, we can comprehend the truths and prepare. His stories and various analysis are birthed from the extensive research that he has conducted on a number of subjects. And folks, I got to tell you something. Before that time, he had sent me some images. And some of those images, and if you're on Christians United Broadcasting Network, you can see the images. I'm telling you something. It seems like we are in a different world. We're not in Kansas anymore. Well, some of you might be. And to those in Kansas listening, I want to say hello to you. But anyway, you know, unintentionally, Mr. Holden's work often eerily transitions from fiction to real life to fact. His first book, 3 Days in the Belly of the Beast, it seemingly predicted the discovery of the God particle by physicists back in early last year. But like other fictional storylines from the novel, they became reality in the science world in the months that followed the release of his book. So what you found in his book, if you were fortunate enough to get his book, 3 Days in the Belly of the Beast, you were actually ahead of the curve in terms of history. Perhaps the most astonishing find was the discovery that 3 Days in the Belly of the Beast, some of the storylines from the book and Mr. Holding's first and last name were all found in the ancient Torah code. Folks, we've talked about the Torah code before. You know about it if you've listened to this program or listened to Joe and I for any length of time. It's interesting. And for his name to be found, wow. Okay, now his newest book, As the Darkness Falls, it follows the same trend. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm not a big fan of fiction books. I'm not. But I've got to tell you, I almost fell off my chair in the first pages of this book reading it, and there pops the name Steve Quayle as one of the characters. Now, Steve's a good friend of the program, good friend of mine and Joe's, and it's like, what? Wait a minute. But that's not to demean Steve, but that's the least of the book. That's just a funny anecdote, if you will. Mr. Holden's really captured the essence in our view, in my view, of current events. And I've got to say, if you go to HomelandSecurityUS.com, right in the top story, you can go to his website, which is DanielHoldings.com. You can go to Amazon. There's a link to Amazon. Pick up the book, and you can get it in Kindle form. Or you can get it in the hard copy, real life, I'm holding the book form. And that's the kind I like. But if you want the immediacy of it, certainly the Kindle edition. In fact, I'm going to order the Kindle edition. I've got the hard copy. I'm going to order the Kindle edition because I like both. But anyway, it's that good. And Mr. Holden's been a very frequent guest on numerous radio shows. And he speaks on just a variety of subjects. He's written a lot of articles, speaks in person to public gatherings whenever invited, and so if you want to ask him to lunch, you could probably do that. Well, probably not. And I just want to say this: he lives with his beautiful wife of 30 years and his beautiful teenage daughter in Southern California, and I'm sure he doesn't. I'm sure he's not up to his hips in snow like we are, Joe. That said, he also has a presence on Facebook. Look, folks, go ahead. Facebook, trust me on this one. Go ahead and like him on Facebook, and you won't be sorry. With that, let's bring on Mr. Daniel Holdings.
Well, Doug, thank you so much. I'm beside myself at that introduction. Joe, thank you so much for having me, guys. I got to say, it is an honor to be with you all. You mentioned in the opening that I only woke up a few years ago. And believe it or not, your show was one of the shows that I turned to as I was kind of groggily coming out of my sleep. So, fellas, I appreciate your work so much. And as I said, it is a great honor to be with you. And please, because we're just starting out, don't call me Mr. Holdings. It makes me sound really old. Call me Daniel, please.
All right, we'll do that. And Daniel, I've seen your picture, by the way. You're a handsome looking man. I've got to say, the reason I mention that, it kind of makes me laugh, because in the book you kind of equate Steve Quayle's appearance with Jack Nicholson. and I thought, I don't know how Steve feels about that, but Jack
Nicholson. Actually, that was his idea. That wasn't his idea. He's the one that told me that. The people told him that he looked like Jack Nicholson. So I
actually, and I kid him about this, he looks like Jack Nicholson from The Shining of 1980. Just a okay, no. Anyway. Well, Joe and I were talking before the program. There's just so much news, so many headlines out there. There's all sorts of things. And your book, As the Darkness Falls, kind of gives it to people. And you know something? I was thinking about this, too, as I was reading your book. We have people, a lot of listeners, they'll say, you know, family just doesn't get it. We've got members of our family, they just don't get the imminence of what's happening and the things that are taking place, the crises that are going on and how serious events are. And really, the seen versus the unseen. And how the spiritual level of war that were going on. So, you know, I was thinking before the show, and as I was reading the book, if you have a family member like that, I would really recommend, folks, and if they're readers, and they're readers of fiction or fact and fiction, look, buy the book and give it to them. And I'll tell you something, that will open their eyes, along with the first one, 3 days in the Belly of the Beast. But from our website, you can also click on Daniel's website where the book trailers are, and it'll give you a good idea of what the book's all about. And I'll tell you something. Like I said, ripped right out of today's headline. So, I can talk all night, and I don't mean to. But I just want to say that because a lot of people, a lot of people are slow to wake up, and we're getting people in our audience saying, my wife or husband, they're not quite with me. They're not on the same page with me about the imminence of the crisis we're facing. Do you get that a lot?
Well, interestingly enough, Doug and Joe, that was the impetus of the first book. When I woke up, and I wasn't entirely awake, it only occurred maybe 4 years ago, I'd been a believer at that time, probably 26 years. Went to Bible college for a time and served in the church and loved the Lord. But as a believer, I was asleep like most believers are. Now, let me just say that my books are not designed to be faith-based. So anyone that's listening and they think, oh, no, we got another crazy Christian guy on there, he's a radical. No, that's not the purpose of the books. The books are written from my world perspective, and my world perspective is of Christ, so therefore it's reflecting my worldview. But when I woke up and I began to see things and understand things, and God began to show me things, I needed to put them in a form where people could understand them, because the concepts were radical, and people weren't just going to grab it if I just told them what I was thinking off the top of my head. So that's where the story came in. The Holy Spirit helped me to grasp those facts into the story, 3 days of the Belly of the Beast. Guys, I had no idea when I wrote that first book the things that I was writing. I'm not a physicist. I'm not a scientist. You know, I like science. I'm a geek when it comes to that sort of thing, but I didn't understand it. So I had to study. I had to learn. I had to learn to write. And as I began to pull these things into a cognitive story, it wove the storyline that is in that first book. And those truths that were in that book that eventually were found in the ancient Torah code, and we'll get into that in a little bit, but I had to write that book from the perspective of, hey, you are crazy. How are you going to inform people of the things that you know without them laughing at you? So that's where the story came, and it came in as a means to communicate truths in such a way to make it palatable for people. And hopefully that same trend has been taken on with the second book, As the Darkness Falls, and it sure sounds like it's struck a chord with you, so I hope that I've accomplished that.
Well, you have indeed. Now, let me ask, for the listeners, or people listening to this program, is it necessary, because I did not have the pleasure of reading 3 Days in the Belly of the Beast. I intend to do that, but I just didn't do it. I'm kind of out of order with this. Would you recommend for the listener out there to grab that book first? Because it seems like this book, As the Darkness Falls, seems like it stands on its own pretty well. But would you recommend that that people would get your first work first?
You know, I'm really glad you said that, Doug, because one of the things that I was very conscious of when I wrote As the Darkness Falls is I really wanted it to be a standalone book. It had the same characters. It followed on kind of the same storyline. But I wanted somebody, if they picked that book up and it was the first time that they saw my work, that they could pick it up right where I left off at. And so in that sense, no, they don't necessarily need to read 3 Days of the Belly of the Beast, in the Belly of the Beast. And in fact, I dare say, and I'll just let your listeners know now, that book is out of print. I am coming out with a second edition by the end of the month. And you can pre-order that second edition on my website and actually get a 30% discount off of it. But that second edition, the weight of the technical information in that book tended to slow the plot down. So what God did is he brought me this wonderful editor. She's a brute. I don't know if any of you guys have ever written a book, but editors are really mean. And so So Linda has really managed to help me trim that thing down. In the back of it, there's all kinds of additional information, story background. The information on the book being in the Torah code is in there. So that the second edition of my first book, 3 Days in the Belly of the Beast, will be out by the end of the month, and you can pre-order it, as I said, for a 30% discount. That said, that storyline is different than the storyline that you are reading. The hero in both of those books is Dr. Bryce Obadiah Cooper. He is today's Einstein, the world's smartest man, if you will. He's won a Nobel Prize, and he has a photogenic memory. He's brilliant. He's a physicist. And in that first book, he is actually working at the Large Hadron Collider, which is a real place in Geneva, Switzerland. He gets contracted to do consulting work with HARP up in Alaska, which is also a real place. And the storyline that develops in that book is very, very interesting. I don't want to give away too much of it, but I will tell you this. How I met, you know Steve Quayle well, how I met Steve Quayle was I was writing As the Darkness Falls, and I needed glue because there were concepts that I had, you know, since I woke up, I as an individual became aware of. But the character, Bryce Cooper, needed to make that leap. So I thought, how is this guy going to make this leap from, you know, all-star, brilliant physicist to this crazy, kooky conspiracy nut that I am today, right? So how am I going to do that? And, you know, I think it was the Holy Spirit. If Steve's listening, it was the Holy Spirit. Steve, you know, the Holy Spirit dropped Steve Quayle into my heart and he said, call him. And I said, I don't know Steve Quayle. I'm a nobody. You know, I wrote a book. Steve Quayle's busy. He doesn't know me. Well, after a couple of emails and a couple of attempts, Steve was kind enough to give me a call, and in that first conversation, he related several things to me about that book that I did not know, and I wrote it. So what I'd kind of like to do is to start off at the beginning, if I can, fellas, because this is really important. And if you're – okay, one of the things that I told you before we get on the air, Doug, that I have a big note. I tend to run my mouth, and I want to stay – on point. So what I did is I wrote out some notes of the things that I'd kind of like to touch base with you on tonight. And the very first note is be relevant. Be relevant. Because, Doug, Joe, this has to be more than just a guest talking about his fictional books. The world is way too serious in a situation for us to just be entertained. That's the problem with the world, but not 80% of the world. They're asleep because they're just being entertained. Our goal tonight is to entertain them but impart information along the way so that they can understand how we got here and where we are going. And then at the end of the day, to understand that they do not have to live in fear like the rest of the world does. So hopefully that will be our goal tonight. And if we can start off with the very premise of 3 days in the belly of beast that the Lord gave me. I still remember to this day, I was in the shower and this thought came to me. let me break it down like this. Bryce Koop is a physicist, right? And there are several scientific disciplines, physics disciplines. One of those disciplines is M theory. So, audience, don't let your eyes glaze over. This is really important. You got to get this because this is not just science. This is truth. This is spirituality. And if you get this, you got to understand why we are seeing the things that we're seeing today.
Daniel, if I can just interrupt you just for 1 second, I just want to say this because I think it's important. Our audience is probably more plugged in than any audience that you'll speak to, and I want to say that because they are very, very well ahead of the curve, and they're very well aware of a lot of things that are going on. So a lot of things, you know. So don't be afraid of getting right into the meat or getting into the meat because we've got the best, most educated, and I'm not trying to, you know, suck up to anybody. I'm just telling you, our listening audience is tremendously informed. So, but with that, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's okay, Doug. And I know that because, buddy, I'm telling you, you have given me some meat. And you know, I could go on and on about the shows that you guys have done that I had to get home and really begin to dig in for myself because I know how informed your audience is. So it's a wonderful place to be and able to share these things with them. But the thing that I gleaned from M-Theory says that there are at least 11 different dimensions. Okay, that's what M-Theory says, 11 different dimensions. Okay, so Dan, why are you talking about this stuff, 11 dimensions? I thought we were going to talk about your book. All right. Now, when we look at the Bible says in Ephesians 6 that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities, powers, and spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places, right? I looked up that word heavenly, right, in Ephesians. It's not heavens as in way out there. It's atmosphere. It's the sky. It's all around us. That's the feeling that you get from the Greek word. So it's not talking about some place in the by and by. It's talking about all around us. Now keep that, audience, in the back of your mind, because M-Theory says that we operate in 11 different dimensions. Now let me break something down here. We live, in a 3D world, height, depth, and width. That's where you get that phrase 3D. Now, Einstein theorized that time was the fourth temporal dimension. So time is the fourth dimension. Okay, so we have four dimensions of those 11 dimensions in M-Theory. Now, in the Bible, there are actually four different levels of hell. And people don't understand this, four different levels of hell. Why are we talking about this? Well, because it's important. You have Hades, or hell, which is the first level. Hades and hell have a key, or keys, if you will. Those are the keys that when Christ was crucified and he died, he went to hell, and the word says that he stole the keys to hell and death. Excuse me. So, okay, that's the first level. The second level is the abyss. Now, what's that, Dan? The abyss. the abyss is talked about in Revelations. John talks about it as also having keys, but it's not the same place as hell. It's a different level of hell, and that's where the devil and his angels are bound. There's these specific four general angels that are bound until the end of time. So, and that's really important, folks. You need to hear that, what I just said. The word says that these four generals are bound until the end of time in the abyss, okay? But it's the point that you need to take away from it now is it's a second level, okay? There's also another level. It's called Taurus or Tatus. I don't know exactly. It's another level, so we'll just leave it at that. There's three levels. And then the last level of hell is the lake of fire. There is no escape from the lake of fire. It's the place of final judgment. The Lord will throw the dragon, the devil, in the lake of fire with all of his fallen angels and for all eternity. You can't get out of there. So that's four levels of hell. Okay, so let's back up. We said that there are three levels that we live in, that time is the fourth level, okay, the fourth dimension, I should say. So four plus four, the four levels of hell, that's eight, okay? So okay, I have a pea brain. I'm a simplistic guy, okay? Paul said, I once knew a man who was caught up, he was talking about himself, in the third heaven. So I just naturally thought, okay, if there's a third heaven, Doug, Joe, you think maybe there's a first and a second heaven too? So if you take four dimensions that we live in, four dimensions of hell, and three dimensions of heaven, that's 11. That's M theory. And when I understood that, I was like, what? That's not supposed to work. Because if you talk to scientists, you know, us religious people are off a rocket. We don't know what we're talking about. But when you talk about M theory, it is actually talking about the very things. I actually think there are more than 11 dimensions. But the point is that it got me thinking about those things that are right around us that we never see because they are out of our dimensional perspective, if you will. Okay? And so that's how the gist of that book got going. Okay? And so I did this research. I started, you got to remember, I was just waking up. I didn't know. I heard about HARP. I thought it was, the LHC, Large Hadron Collider. I thought it was interesting, but I didn't know anything about it per se, other than just what I read on the news once in a while. So I began to dig into that. And then I was at a Bible study, actually, and somebody mentioned HARP to me, right? So I thought that was interesting. I started digging into that. And then at the same time, somebody mentioned the Nephilim. Now, I know you guys know Steve Quayle, so you guys definitely have heard of the Nephilim. Well, the thing that struck me is I thought that would be a great storyline. So I went about interlacing all of these interesting little tidbits of information, and I wove this story out of them. Now, in comes Steve Quayle. That was the first book. And let me back up. When I got done with that book, I didn't know how to promote a book, right? And I told the Lord I wasn't going to promote a book. You're going to promote the book because you gave it to me. I always say, guys, that I just want to be Balaam's donkey. I don't know if you know who Balaam was, but Balaam was a guy that the Lord told to go tell somebody that they need to repent, and he was going to judge him. Balaam didn't want to go. And so he was running in the opposite direction, and he was stuck between literally a rock and a hard place. And his donkey looks up at him and he starts talking to him. Actually, his donkey stopped in the middle of his path and Balaam couldn't go anywhere. So he started beating the donkey. And the donkey looks at him and starts talking. He says, why are you beating me? Haven't I always served you well? And then the word says that Balaam's eyes were open. He saw an angel standing before him with a sword drawn. He was going to get whacked if he went any further. The donkey saw that and he opened his mouth in spite of the beating and he told him, don't go that way. So Balaam repented, and he went about to do what God told him to do. So I always say, I just want to be that donkey. I just want to be Balaam's donkey. I'm not really smart. I just want to be Balaam's donkey. So the point is that when I wrote that book, I didn't really know anybody or how to promote a book. I'd never written a book before, and I told the Lord that he needed to do this and not me. I didn't want to make it a marketing thing. I'm pretty good at marketing. I could do it, but I didn't want to. If this is God's book, God would have to promote it. Well, lo and behold, the guy, a friend of mine out of Oklahoma, got a hold of the book and knew a guy by the name of Barry Rothman. Now, Barry Rothman is an Orthodox Jew, okay? Barry Rothman is a expert, probably one of the leading experts in the United States in the Torah code. And so my friend in Oklahoma got Barry Rothman to do a Torah code search on 3 days of in the belly of the beast. And he found not only the title, he found my name, along with the storylines in the Torah code. And guys, I got to tell you, that just blew me away.
Wow.
Because I'm just like you guys. I'm just a guy. And I wrote this book, and all of a sudden it's in the ancient Torah code? I don't understand. By the way, your listeners, Barry Rothman runs, it's not a commercial, but, you know, it begs actually letting them know where to find him. He has a website. It's called arkcode.com, arkcode.com. He runs Torah codes on the headlines today, and you would be amazed at the headlines he finds in the Torah codes. So very interesting place. Your listeners can go there and take a look at it. But the point is that he found it in there, and he published it. I looked at that, and Doug and Joe, what it did, you know, people go, wow, that's really cool. It really presented a problem for me, because up until now, this was just an interesting story with some science facts in it and, you know, this neat discussion, right? Now I am faced with something of significance, and I don't know what it means, right? But, okay, so I put that on the back burner, and I begin to write my second book. In comes this idea about incorporating Steve Poyle in the book for the sake of the storyline. So Steve and I start talking on the phone, and he says to me, I said, Steve, you know, I wrote this book. It's got HARP in it. It's got the LHC in it. They found out the Torah code. I don't really understand what's going on here. And he said, Dan, you don't understand. He said, now this is not my words. These are Steve Quayle's words. What you don't understand is that there is a direct connection between HARP and the Large Hadron Collider. I said, come again? What?
Please do explain. Holy cow.
Okay. So he said, now Doug, this is not just about that first book. What I want to do is to use this as a springboard for where we're going and what we're seeing today, because this is vitally important. Folks, this is not about fiction. This is not about books. This is about truth. This is about reality, and the reality that we are seeing develop all around us in the world that we live. So this is really important. He said to me, he said, Dan, excuse me, he said that if you thought of the LHC is like a main locking mechanism, a main lock, and if you can unlock the main lock, and that would open up locks all around it. You could open up any lock if you open up the main lock. And so, okay, we're gonna put that aside for 1 second, because then you're going, okay, what's it unlocking? So, and then he said, do you know what chemtrails are? And I said, and I know your audience knows what chemtrails are. I said, yeah, I know about chemtrails. I studied some. I don't know that I buy into them. I see them sometimes, but, you know, I don't really know what they're about. He said, you need to look into them. He said, because what they are doing with those chemtrails is that they are preparing the atmosphere. What? They are preparing the atmosphere, Dan. And he said, I said, well, what are they preparing it for? And he said, well, he said, what do you think that they are unlocking at the Large Hadron Collider. And Doug, you know, I know you guys are astute, but off the top of my head, I said, a portal? And he said, that's right, a portal. And, you know, here's the interesting thing. There was an accident at the LHC in 2008 when it was first coming online. I have some documented fact about this. It actually got out in an Austrian newspaper before they inked the story. But what happened is something appeared on their screens, an entity, if you will, and it shut down the system. The system crashed. And so it took down the LHC in real life for a number of months before they got it back up and running again. So based upon what I knew, that's why I said, that's the portal. And he said, that's right, Dan. I said, Steve, you know, okay, listen, this is the crazy part. You can check out if you want to, but you're going to miss something. I said, Steve, are you telling me that they are unlocking the abyss? And he said, Dan, that's exactly what I'm telling you. At least they're trying to unlock the abyss. All right. Now, okay, that's pretty far-fetched, right? So let's just let you stew on that for a second. I went back and I did some research into chemtrails. I know you guys have done some shows on chemtrails. Now, what I found in some of the research that I did on chemtrails is that chemtrails have barium in it, aluminum in them. They also carry pathogens in them, which are viruses, diseases, whatever. And there have also been reports that there are blood particles, human blood particles in chemtrails. Now, I saw that. I was going, what is going on here? Why would they do that? Now, automatically, and I have no proof of this, I have no verification, this is just what I thought off the top of my head, could that be blood from abortions or sacrifice? I don't know, but it makes no sense why it's up there. Now, if that weren't crazy enough, just maybe 6 or 7 months ago, I read an article, and in this article, it said that there's an organization. It's actually Bill Gates' organization, and they are now geoengineering the weather. And what they started to do was to spray sulfur in the air. Now, guys, I just started putting two and two together. I see other stuff in chemtrails, now they're spraying sulfur in the air. Steve Quayle tells me that they're preparing the atmosphere or this dimension, right, to open up this abyss. And I began to wonder, what is really going on here? Now, here's the other shoe that I waited to drop for you. Doug, Joe, do you know that inside or out front of the LHC, there is a statue? It's their mascot. Have you heard of this before?
No.
Well, this mascot is the Hindu god Shiva. Do you know what the Hindu god Shiva's job is?
Mm-hmm. No.
He is the destroyer of worlds. The destroyer of worlds.
Okay.
Now, guys, those guys down in the LHC are really, really smart. They're really smart. Why would they have the destroyer of worlds out front of their buildings? I got no clue, but there was an article that actually Steve pointed me to. It's by Sue Bradley, and I've gotten to know Sue over the months since then. Sue is brilliant, and she did extensive research into the LHC where this is concerned. There are also there's also Hebrew writings on the walls of the LHC, and there's this whole religious overtone, and it says something like that there is only one God. It's a verse out of Ezekiel, but it's what they gravitate to. It's this, but who are they talking about? What God are they talking about?
That was going to be my question. Okay.
So there is something, I think, and I didn't know this, guys, when I wrote that book. It appears to me now, I knew that when I wrote that second book, but it appears to me now that there could very well be something nefarious going on at the LHC. Though I have nothing else aside from the anecdotal evidence I just laid down to you. But the point is that those are really smart guys, and they have the destroyer of worlds up front. They see it every day. And they're working on some significant experiments down there. So let's jump to that 1 second, because this is important for Foundation. Now, you mentioned December 21st and you know, the tension that everyone felt leading up to that.
Right.
Now, it is interesting to me that the LHC was running their most powerful experiments in that week, culminating on December 21st with the highest collision, the fastest collision, the most accelerated particles that they could have done at that time, ended on December 21st. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like an accident to me. It sounds like, obviously, there was a scheduling, intentional scheduling issue there. I mean, wow. Okay.
So the world, but the world didn't end on the 21st. And dare I say that the Mayans never said the world was going to end for, you know, all the people thought we were going to have to pack it in late. What they said was there was going to be a transition, a change. They were looking for the next age of what they called enlightenment. Now, keep in mind that the Mayans sacrificed humans, so I don't know what kind of enlightenment they're looking for. But the point is that the December 21st wasn't supposed to be the end. It was supposed to be the beginning of a change. Now, keep that in mind. Here's another little tidbit of information. Those crazy Mayan priests that walked across the country in 2012 were carrying 13 crystal skulls, stopping at strategic places all along the U.S., and their walk ended here in the United States at the City of Angels, Los Angeles, not far from where I live, and they were having ceremonies to what? They were having ceremonies to open up portals. That's what they said.
Wow.
Now, okay, so this is like way out there in left field, Daniel. You're going out there on a limb. But did you know, audience, that the Bible talks about portals? Now, think about, most people know about the story of Jacob's ladder. Jacob saw angels ascending and descending down a ladder, and I get the feeling that's a portal. Well, okay. But did you know that the word portal is actually in the Bible? When Jesus uses this story about the 10 virgins, 5 were ready, 5 were not. 5 left to go get more oil for the lampstands. The bridegroom came and those 5 were gone. And what it says is that the bridegroom opened the door. That word door is literally portal. Isn't that crazy?
Wow. Okay.
So let's put this in perspective. Are you saying Jesus is an alien? Well, no more alien than we are, I suppose. But Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, is, let's back up. Who is Jesus? Who is he? Was he actually just a son of a woman that God sent? So, because we all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that who would ever believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. But let's think about this from a logical perspective. If you were God, I know that's a big stretch for all of us, right? But if you were God and you knew that you were going to have to talk to people over a span of 2,000 years, the beginning of those people being very primitive, that didn't understand science, that didn't understand genetics, that didn't understand any of those things, and you would also have to talk to people in the 21st century, how would you say something to them so that they would grasp the gist of what you're trying to say? Okay? Now...
Okay. And I've never quite thought of it that way, but go on, okay? I mean, I've never quite thought... I guess you raise an interesting point. If you're trying to describe an airplane, you know, in Christ's time, how are you going to do that? Or a missile or a nuclear bomb or whatever. So, okay.
All right. So the word says that God, not a God, not a sliver of God, not a part of God, became flesh. I'm going to mess up some people's Trinity theology here, right? Because we need to understand who he really was. What God did, God didn't have, and I don't mean to sound crude, and you'll understand why I have to say it like this. God didn't have sex with Mary, and Mary spit out a baby. That's not what happened. God poured himself into Mary's womb. And Mary had a physical baby. That baby was God himself. That baby was Yahweh, or part of Yahweh. It wasn't that God gave his son. It was the only way that he could explain it so that we could understand it. But what God did is he poured himself in the physical container that you and I have to live in. And that physical container walked throughout his whole life. And that physical container could have sinned, could have done all the things that we can do, but he chose not to, because what he did is he took his godliness out of it. He took his ability to say, nope, why do I say this? Because the word says that when Jesus was on the cross, he could have called 10,000 angels to get him off. He could have said, okay, I'm God, I've had enough. Right. When the devil tempted in the desert for 40 days, he could have said, yeah, you know what, you're done, Satan. He didn't. He walked just like you and I. So when God poured himself into a human body that was birthed by a woman, it came out as Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. So the point is that when we see the things that are going on in the world, we need to understand that there are other aspects to the life that we live, with things going on around us that will explain much of what we see today. Now, most of the time, Doug and Joe, what you hear from pulpits or pastors or even teachers, They'll talk in terms of super spiritual, you know, well, that's the heavenly realm, or that's the spiritual. Guys, I think there are very practical and scientific explanations for the things that we see. But the problem is, when we talk religious-like, you see this divorce between science and religion. When in fact, there's no divorce. There's no divide. They explain the same thing, except they're coming at it from two different aspects. And you know, many times... Well, the science community doesn't accept, you know, religion, and Christians don't accept the science community. So they say it's, you know, crazy stuff. But the point is that we live in a three-dimensional world, four if you count time, and that those four dimensions are influenced by other outside forces that we cannot see. And that was the gist of that first book, that there are things going on all around us that affect us, and we're not aware of them because we can't see from our own dimensional, with our own dimensional eyesight. So here's the point. When we see the things going on in the White House, when we see this craziness coming over society today, when we see the looming economic collapse or the earth changes that are going on all around us, there are other things happening in the dimensions, if you will, around us that we cannot physically see with our own eyes. This is why we need spiritual eyes. This is why we need godly eyes. Because this is the other fantastic thing that God did for us. He poured, not only did he pour himself in Jesus and walk the earth as Jesus, but he poured himself in us. That doesn't mean that we're gods. It doesn't mean that, you know, we're going to have our own planet or whatever one day. It means that the spark that created the universe lives inside of us to help us, to aid us, to help us to see and understand those things that are going on in the world around us with spiritual eyes. I remember I was in the Air Force, and I was stationed down in Mississippi. I tell this story often, but I've never been in a tornado or a hurricane. I'm from Southern California. Give me a good earthquake any day, and I'm okay. But tornado, I'm not so big on. And there was a severe weather warning out, and they warned there was a tornado watch out, which I gather is a bad thing. So my wife was scared to death, and she asked me to call some friends from church, and so I did. And they said to me, we'd only been here for about 7 or 8 months, and they said to me, you know, Daniel, don't worry about it. There's never been a tornado down there. You guys are fine. You know, don't worry about it. So I no sooner hung up the phone, when all of a sudden there was this big boom at the corner of my house. We had two black cats at that time, and the cats were in the back room, and all I saw were these black darts. My wife was standing next to the couch. I swear she jumped about 3 feet and landed on the couch. And I'm sitting there going, what was that? It was about 3 or 4 minutes, and there was a knock at the door, and it's my neighbor. She was her eyes were big. She's scared. She said, are you guys okay? And I said, well, yeah, what? She said, because lightning just hit your house.
Oh, my.
I said, lady. She said, yeah. So anyway, I walked out there. And it was amazing. What had happened is we had two pine trees at the corner of our house. And they were tall, tall pine trees. And the lightning hit one of the insides of the pine trees. And it bounced back and forth between these pine trees like it ricocheted, boing, boing, boing. And it went boom into the side of the house. So that's what that big balloon was. So anyway, I called the landlord. The landlord called the tree man. The next day, a tree man comes out. He's the epitome of a, you know, Southern guy with big belly and chewing tobacco. And he says, well, them trees are going to have to come down. I said, well, they're going to have to come down. I love those trees. Beautiful. They give a shade. They make the house look nice. He said, he looks at me like I was crazy. He says, you don't understand. Now, see, here's a physics lesson from a redneck tree guy, right? He says, you don't understand. He says, that lightning, it changed the molecular structure of them trees. They're going to die.
Wow.
So I thought about that, Doug, and I thought, you know what? The Holy Spirit said, that was just a flick of my pinky. He said, that's only a fraction of the power that lives inside of you. Because the power, audience, you need to hear this, the power that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you, lives inside of us. We're luggage. We just carry that stuff. We have this. We have our own spirit, our own personality, our own thing that God poured in this body for us. And along with that, he gave us a spark of himself. And so what I began to understand with that first book is that nothing is as it seems. And that's where the tagline came for that second book. So, you know, I've taken, you know, almost an hour describing that journey of how we got here. But this was so important for your audience to understand, because where we are headed, those things that you're reading now and as the darkness falls, directly relate to those things that I came to understand in that first book. But I wanted to ask you, do you have a break at the top of the hour? Or
as a matter of fact, we do have a break at the top of the hour. It'll be for about three and a half minutes, and that'll give you a chance to water up or grab a cup of coffee or whatever you need. And then when we come back, we can hit the additional, we'll keep the flow going from that. So we got about two, I think, what is it, Joe? 2 minutes to the top? So we got about 2 minutes left of this hour. And by the way, an amazing, just a fantastic recap of your, or explanation of your first book. So go ahead and continue for a couple of minutes here before the break.
Well, you know, Doug, thank you for saying but I'm a donkey. I mean, I'm not that smart. That's just, that's something God does, not me. So the point that I wanted to make your listeners aware of, yeah, I wrote all these notes. I probably ought to look at them, right? now, some of the things that came out from that first book, you mentioned one of them, was that they discovered, I didn't even know what the God particle was until I started doing research for that book. And lo and behold, this last year, I learned after I studied it, but lo and behold, they discovered the God particle. The God particle is a Higgs boson, and what scientists have theorized is that if they could see that and they could understand that, they would understand why things have mass, why we just don't fall apart like liquid or whatever. So there was an essential point to the standard theory that they were trying to prove. They proved many things in physics, but they needed to prove this. They needed to see that. So that's why that was so important to them. So that was one of the things that came out. There were other discoveries that came out after I wrote this book. I was I had this urgency to write that book and get it out. That's one of the reasons why I had to pull it back and edit it some and clean up some and do some other cool stuff to it, because I had a sense of urgency to pump it out and get it done, and lo and behold, all this other stuff came about after that time. But one of the most interesting things that I came across, now, okay, you've heard Daniel Holdings, you know, rant about all this crazy stuff to do with Large Hadron Collider and heart. But there is actually a physicist. His name is Francis de Aquino out of Brazil. This is not Daniel Holdings. This is a physicist. De Aquino says that, and you all know this, and I know your audience knows this because, as you said so eloquently, they are astute, they are educated. There are enough harps, according to Francis de Aquino, I've actually heard Steve Quayle say this as well, to wrap the earth. And they just got done, or were just getting done this last year, with the last one in Antarctica. Now, what this guy says is that harp, now that there's a net all around the earth, has the ability to manipulate time. Now, in I think it's out of Daniel, I could be mistaken, but it says that in the last days that the times and the seasons will change. I don't know exactly what that means, but if they're playing with time with harp, then it could very well be an explanation for the kind of things that we are seeing today. This guy, and Doug, I know that you and Joe know this, but this guy, because he began to tell the truth about these things, he ended up getting a bullseye on his back, and they're calling him the most dangerous man in the world because of the things that he's coming up with. That article is on my website, so feel free to go there and pull it up.
And your website is danielholdings.com, folks, danielholdings.com.
The other thing is, just another little couple tidbits before the break here. In Matthew 16:18, it says, "Also I say to you that you are Peter." He's talking to Peter, and upon this rock, he's talking about himself, Petros, which is pebbles, right? Upon this rock is Petra, that's him. I will build my church, and get this. He says, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. that word for gates is portal. Portal.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's an excellent place to stop and take a break.
Yeah. Let's take a break now. Joe, go ahead and take us out.
Yeah, folks, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report this Thursday, February 7th, 2013, with special guest Daniel Holdings, author of As the Darkness Falls, Things Are Not What They Seem, 3 Days in the Belly of a Beast, the sequel to 3 Days in the Belly of a Beast. We'll be right back after these short messages. Stay with us.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
Hi, folks. Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman and Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines. You just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's CanadaFreePress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Ilana Johnson-Powell, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at CanadaFreePress.com. Now mobile friendly. Follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free world.
You better wake up fast and listen to this, America. The Obama campaign has launched attack squads disguised as truth teams dedicated to intimidating and silencing all political dissent carried over the internet that criticizes the Marxist Obama. Truth Squad specifically focused on covering up Obama's endless trail of lies, corruption, and subversion, and using the Gestapo power of our own government to police and censor the internet and shut down websites that dare to carry the real truth about Obama's Marxist coup. Remember the names of these Gestapo-style agencies at work right there in your neighborhood: KeepingHisWord.com, KeepingGOPHonest.com, and AttackWatch.com. KGB, SS, and Gestapo-style police state gangster organizations at work to silence the important voices of patriot dissent, some of which have already been shut down by Obama's orders. Adolf Hitler would have been proud. We're the 21st century Tea Party Patriots.
Hold on to your seat. The Hagman and Hagman flight is now taking off. Doug and Joe Hagman have cleared the runway of TSA agents, jihadists, political crackpots, and global elitists. Now get ready for some real news. Here they are, Doug and Joe Hagman.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to a very special Thursday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. It is the 7th day of February 2013. Doug and Joe Hagman. We are the Hagman and Hagman Report, and I got to tell you, folks, we've got a very special guest by the name of Daniel Holdings, and he's the author of two books, actually.
Yeah.
As the Darkness Falls and 3 Days in the Belly of the Beast. But As the Darkness Falls, that's the book to get right now. That's the book that we're talking about. And I'll tell you, the first hour just flew by. Joe, wow.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back and listen again because there was a lot said there. A lot of what Mr. Holdings is talking about. Remember, we had Nathan Lealcom on talking about the portals being open.
Right.
With the inauguration. And just an FYI for you guys, Nathan Leal will be joining us a week from today on the 14th for the show.
Yeah.
To get into more of what he's releasing. And it kind of goes along with the first hour of what we were just hearing from Daniel.
You know, exactly. And isn't it amazing how things kind of piece together? And you know, when we asked Mr. Holdings to be on the program, we really had no idea that this was going to kind of, that his information, I mean, obviously we understood the book, but how the information kind of ties together. Now, I don't want to take up too much more of Daniel Holden's time, but I will say this. Go to the gallery on DanielHoldings.com. DanielHoldings.com. Go to the gallery there. Look at the photo or the pictures, the links concerning 3 Days, for example. And just watch the trailer, too, but have a look around his website. A very interesting website indeed. And the tagline is, "The search for truth takes courage." And from the first hour, I got to tell you, I believe it. And, of course, as we do, I believe it, too. But Daniel Holdings, welcome back to the Hagman & Hagman Report.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. And I appreciate, again, you invited me. You know, you mentioned Nathan. I had the pleasure of actually being on a show with Nathan just before the inauguration. And guys, you got to understand, I'm just a guy. You know, these guys that I find myself talking to, Steve Quayle, Nathan Leo, Ellie Marzulli, I was on a show last night with Stan Dale. I'm not one of those guys. Those guys are watchers. Those guys have been doing this for years. They've been on the wall for years warning what's going on, and they've taught me so much. You guys have taught me so much. So I'm so humbled to be here with you, and I was humbled to be with Nathan Leo on the air a few weeks ago. One of the things that I found interesting, Joe, you mentioned it, is how the things that God had shown me, he was talking to Nathan about, and I suppose I shouldn't be surprised. I mean, it's the same Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit talks to his body. Nathan's talking about the very same things that God had been revealing to me, and he was talking specifically about portals, and I just kind of touched on that a second ago, and I think it's very important that we transition our conversation to what that crazy science fiction story was in 3 days to where we are today, because I think what Nathan was speaking about as far as the portals opening up around Inauguration Day is essential to where we are today. And folks, if you thought that the first hour was science fiction, you will be blown away by where we are today, because everything that you are seeing happen right now, I believe, is a direct consequence, here's a big word for you, of the spiritual implications of those portals opening. You know, Doug, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about your report that you put out yesterday with your contact from the DHS. That, my friend, frankly, made the hair stand on the back of my neck. I'm assuming that it's actually much worse than what we read when we read it. Would you say that's an accurate statement?
Yes. without getting into further detail, yes. And, you know, you always hold something back. And that's for a number of reasons. And yes, it's worse than what people expect or what people have read.
And that doesn't surprise me at all because of where we are. Now, we need to understand something. There have been some talk. Let me go back. You know, when I first got, when I first became a believer years ago, 31, 32 years ago, I was in the military. I devoured, and I don't know why, which is actually, I do know why. I came across a book. It was called The Late Great Planet Earth. And long story short, I devoured the thing. I wasn't a believer. I thought it was science fiction when I first picked it up. And so I started reading. I'd never heard anything like that, and I was fascinated by it. Now, it was written by a book by the name of Hal Lindsey, a writer by the name of Hal Lindsey. And so what it did is it made me curious about these kind of things in the Bible that I'd never heard about. You know, Christ coming again, the world, the end of the world, and all this crazy stuff. And for the first 6 months of being a believer, I devoured everything I could get my hands on about eschatology or end times. And finally, you know, the Holy Spirit kind of tapped me on the shoulder. He said, what are you doing? To get in the Word, you need to grow up. You need to get strong. You need the foundation of a belief, and I'll take you back to this stuff later on when the time is right. Well, guys, I just told you, I only woke up about 4 years ago, and what I found is no longer do I believe some of the things that Hal Lindsey believes. That's not really the point. The point is that I am once again in the position of looking at those things that are coming upon the earth and saying, that sounds very familiar. And so when we look at the kind of things that you wrote in that report, that you put out in that report, what I find is those things that we had talked about for years and years and years as coming about and people said, oh, it could never happen. This is America. Those very things, Doug, Joe, they're coming true right now. And how can that be in America? I don't understand.
Yeah, it's amazing what we're seeing in this world and how fast the things are taking place, especially since the inauguration.
Yeah.
I mean, on every issue, the guns, gun control, all freedoms are under attack. We see them trying to change the mental health system to the point where if you are against the New World Order, you're mentally, you're a potential terrorist. If you're for guns, you are have a mental disability. It is crazy what is going on.
But
that's just here.
Yeah. Now, Daniel, let me ask you this. When you read that report from the DHS Insider, and I've been getting emails, by the way, folks, where they're saying, oh, if there was really an insider, they'd come out. And, I mean, just all sorts of just really, really strange emails this time. But when you read that report, did that strike home with you at all? Or, I mean, how did you react to that report? Or how did you feel about that?
Well, honestly, Doug, I thought that's not even the whole story. That's what I thought.
Okay.
It's not even the whole story. And that's why I asked you the question I answered. See, here's the thing. And this is really important for the listeners to understand. I have said since I began to wake up 4 years ago that the way that we have as believers thought that the end would come, that the end times would develop, is not necessarily the way things will play out. See, if you talk to Bible teachers, and I'm not a Bible teacher, I read like everybody else. I try to get down to, I study the word, I try to get into the original language, but the fact is I don't speak Greek or Hebrew, so I have to learn like everybody else. But when you look at the things that are said there, and you have so many Bible teachers, by the way, people on television saying, this is exactly the way it's going to happen. I dare say, gentlemen, that you're wrong. You don't know exactly how it's going to happen. you don't know how things are going to play out. You know kind of how they're going to play out. And I have this discussion all the time with my friends. No, it's going to be this way. Look, I don't know exactly how it's going to be, but it's not going to be that way. Well, why do you say that? Because you're saying it. Now, here's what I mean by that. When Jesus was crucified and he was resurrected, and there's a road that he was on, the road to Emmaus, and he met up with two believers. They were, from what I gather, Messianic Jews that had believed that Messiah had came, and that now they were all bummed out because the Messiah was killed. So apparently it wasn't that guy, right? And so they're talking with Jesus, and they don't know who he is. They're just walking with him. And they say, well, where have you been? You've been living on a rock. You don't understand what's been going on. So Jesus begins to explain to them the Old Testament scriptures that prophesied about how he would come, about how he would be crucified, and about how he would be resurrected on the third day. It's right there in scriptures. And yet these guys didn't see that. So he tells them all these stuff, all this stuff, and the word says that their eyes were open, right? Oh, that was Jesus, and he disappeared. And then they say to themselves, how our hearts burned when he was talking to us. But the point is, they had Christ right there. They had Christ with them. They had the scriptures that said this is what was going to happen. And yet, they didn't understand exactly how things were going to play out. They loved him. They followed him, obviously, because they're all bummed out. They think it's the end of the world. But the point is that they didn't know exactly how it was going to play out. So this is the point, listeners, that when we are moving forward to these days, you're going to listen to Bible scholars and say this and say that, it's this. I dare say it's not any of those things exactly. It may be some of those things. But you need to keep an open mind and understand that the depth of deception that is about to be thrust on the world, believers do not understand what's going on. The depth of persecution that is about to come to believers in America, people don't understand this. And so when we talk about the time that we're in right now, we talked about Nathan Leal. Nathan talked about how the portals of the abyss would begin to open, the portals of hell would begin to open, and that that this demonic presence would be manifest around the White House and the occupants of the White House right now. Now, if we stood back and we said, okay, it's going to happen just like that, we're going to understand it, we're going to see it. No, that's not the way it's happening, folks. I think it has happened. This is what Daniel says. I think it has happened, but I think it's happened in this realm, this dimension that we can't see yet, but they are fiercely, and I'll use that word fiercely, trying to pierce into this dimensional world that we're seeing around us, and you're going to begin to see strange, crazy things that there is no explanation for. But the thing that you need to keep in your mind, the back of your mind, audience, is that those are those things that are beginning to pierce into this 3D world that we live in. And what do I mean by that? Well, Doug, you mentioned the pictures I sent you for the website. One of my most favorite pictures of all that is that crack in time.
Oh, mine too.
I found that last year. Now, Doug, that's in Anchorage, Alaska. That's crazy. Audience, if you have a computer and you're not looking at this, there is literally a crack of light that just, I don't know, Doug, maybe you can explain it better because I'm not looking at it, but there's a crack of light that's breaking through in the midst of a road, and it stayed open for like 2 or 3 minutes, and then it disappeared.
You described it very well. Folks, just imagine a daylight situation. I mean, it's daylight, and you've got, and it would appear, well, when I say daylight, it's kind of like a very foggy, misty, but it's light outside, and it's obviously taken, it would appear to me, from a car, and it looks like if you were to take a picture out your car windshield, of like a misty kind of day ahead of you, but you can still make out things, oh, I don't know, 100 yards, 200 yards ahead with clarity, and trees to the left and to the right. But if you took a magic marker and just took it and drew a line from almost the top of the picture down to just above street level, and imagine that line being a bright light, that's what it looks like. And it almost looks like a tear in the sky. And it's just an amazing photograph. So I don't know if I did it justice, but holy cow.
Yeah, no, that's an excellent description. And there's another photograph I sent you. It is a photograph of what looks like a round hole in the clouds, like a portal, again,
right,
from a street level view. That was actually over Moscow.
Yeah, and so, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure you've seen that photograph. I know a lot of people have seen that photograph. It's almost like it would be almost like a vortex.
I've seen a video from, I think, the ISS, the International Space Station, which showed something that looked similar. I'm going to try and find it.
Yeah, it's an amazing photograph, all of these. Now yeah, Daniel, do you have those on your website? Because I didn't go through all of
them. Most of them are on my website. Frankly, guys, it's just me, and sometimes my website doesn't get updated like I like to. If I'm updating my website, I'm not writing, and so I get behind on my work. But most of those pictures are on my website, and your audience can feel free to take a look at them. And, you know, there's another photo up there about there's a spiral in the sky, and I believe that is the spiral. Now, folks, I'm not making this stuff. I might be a science fiction writer, but I'm trying to give you real stuff out of the news. There's a spiral in the sky. I believe that is the same spiral that appeared in the skies above. I just lost the name. Where Obama got the Nobel Peace Prize. You received the Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, yeah. Now you got me going, yeah, it's an amazing photograph. It almost looks
it's like one of those Scandinavian countries or something up there, Sweden or Norway or
Oslo, maybe. I'm not sure, but it's
anyway.
Yeah.
That spiral, folks. That spiral appeared in the sky the night before, and Obama was in town. He was there the night before he received the Nobel Peace Prize. Now, that is just crazy. The news was going nuts up there in that country. They didn't know what it was. They rushed Obama into this bunker to make sure he was safe. It's crazy stuff. Now, on top of that, I know you all have addressed this issue. There were these sounds that people were hearing, not so much now, but they were hearing them at the beginning of last year. I mean, they were all over the world, these groanings, these echoings, these thumpings. Nobody knew where they were coming from, and there's plenty of video all over the internet that people are hearing these sounds. What is that? I don't know. I've never heard anything like that. It's just crazy stuff happening. What I want you all to understand is that those things, I believe, are evidence of these other dimensions trying to pierce into our own. Excuse me. Whether you call them portals, whether you call them aberrations, whether you call them, whatever you want to call them, that is evidence of something outside our normal 3D universe. And folks, what you need to understand is that you are going to see more of that. So get ready, because that was only the tip of the iceberg. Now, why do I say that? Because of the time that we are in. I want you all to understand something, and I'm going to share something with you. The Lord told me something. I don't do this very often, but I'm going to give this to you. I was in the middle of a worship service at church, and I go because a family member goes, and I have to take them. And it's not a bad church, it's okay. But I'm not enthused because their train of thought is not necessarily my train of thought. There are things that I'm sharing here that I couldn't even share in my own church because they think I was crazy. But in the middle of the service, my heart was aching because of some things that were going on in the news, and I didn't really know. I don't remember exactly what they were at the time, but my heart was heavy, and I'm looking around, and people are clueless. They're socializing, they're having a good time, they're singing and worship, but they're clueless about reality. And I asked the Lord in the middle of that service, and I said, God, what is going on? What's going to happen to these people? And what the Holy Spirit said to me, and it was one of those times that it shakes the inside of you. I don't know if you've heard God speak to you on the inside, but it vibrated my whole inside. And what he said was, time is at an end. Time is at an end. And he said it twice. And I was like, what does that mean, God? Time is at an end. This was probably about 10, 11 months ago. I said, what does that mean? And he didn't answer me. I think I have the answer. The point is, and his time is not my time. His when he says that doesn't mean it's today. What I took it to mean after the fact was that we are rushing into the end times. And, what we are seeing is a manifestation of all those things that have to happen before that. Now, I'm going to tell your audience, and many people will argue with me, but I do not believe that there is a pre-tribulation rapture. And the reason I say that is, well, first of all, I don't even like the name rapture. It's not in the Bible. It's not biblical. It comes from a Latin word, right? Now, the word in the Bible is harpazo. It means to be caught away, right? But from what I read in my Bible, it says on that day. What day is that? The day of the Lord. That's when we're caught up. So there are things, listeners, that I believe, and you could argue with me if you want to. It's not really the point. It's not open to discussion. Now, a theological discussion about, gee, I believe this, and I have this scripture, and blah, blah. That's not really what I want to do here. What I want to do is to prepare you, because I think, as so many of your guests have said, Doug and Joe, that we are going to have to walk through some things. And ultimately, I think that's the purpose of those books, that those books is to outline the things that we are supposed to see and that we will experience and that we will do coming into these days, these last days. So as a group of believers, as a body, the remnant, if you will, we are going to have to walk through some things. And those things that are coming upon the earth, I believe, are beginning to be seen in those aberrations of the spirals and the noises and the portals and all this crazy stuff. Now, with that, I want to get back to my discussion with Nathan Leo, because this is really important. Nathan makes a point, and I know you've had him on the show, you're going to have him on the show, but he talks about Jeremiah 36 or 39, I don't recall exactly at the top of my head, but he talks about how there's a formula in verse 3, and it came out exactly for your audience that doesn't remember. It came out exactly to Obama's private inauguration on the Sunday before his inauguration day. It was exactly to the day, if you follow that formula, from 9/11. Now, I don't know if you guys have had, and I forget his name, Khan, I think his name is, the author of The Harbinger on. And one of the things that Rabbi Khan said was that the 9/11 was prophecy repeating itself. It's what happened to the Jews in Israel or the Israelites in Israel, and it repeated itself with us right down to the very things that our nation's leaders were pronouncing and declaring right out of the Bible. So there's a couple of things that make me pause when I see that, because there's supporting evidence to say that 9/11 was much more than just a terrorist attack. Now, we could get into conspiracy theories, and that's a discussion for a whole another thing. Maybe it was the government that did it to us, or maybe it was terrorists. It doesn't matter. The fact is, guys, it happened. And because it happened, it's a marker. It's a point in time that we have to take heed of. Okay.
Right.
So when I heard Nathan Leo talk about that formula and how it worked out to the day of inauguration, I was stunned by what he said, because I believe it wholeheartedly that he was right. But why is it? So the question is, why is it that things haven't really manifested like we should? We're humans, okay? We want to see, we're a microwave society, right? We want to see things happen now.
Right.
Push the button, but it doesn't happen like that in the spirit. It doesn't happen like that in the dimensional. It happens gradually. It's like a frog being boiled in water. If you throw a frog in a pot of boiling water, he'll jump out. If you put a frog, I've never did this, this is what would happen. But you put a frog in cold water and turn the heat up, he'll boil himself to death without jumping out. It's kind of like what's going on with us. Things are happening incrementally, they're happening subtly, and then they begin to ramp up and begin to grow and begin to develop so that it's overwhelming to us. And that's the point that I want your audience to listen to right now, because the things that you are seeing out of the Oval Office right now, the things that you are seeing around our country right now, it's the frog in lukewarm water at the moment. And that fire underneath that pot is still boiling. But, folks, sooner or later, our goose is going to be cooked, because they're going to be in control. And there's – now, guys, it's not going to be a popular statement, but it's a statement that I have to make. There's nothing that you can do about it. The nation, the republic, will be changed forever. And there's nothing we can do about it. It is time. It's not, let's have a revolution. Let's kick the guy out. You know, do what you feel led to do. I'm not advocating that by any means. The point is, you're not going to change the outcome, because it's time. Now, what do I mean by that? There are things that have to happen before Christ comes again. Those things will play out, whether I want them to or not. And God has given this country, God has given people all around the world time. Oh, here's a nasty word. We don't use this word in church anymore, even sometimes. God has given us time to repent, and we've not repented. And while there are bastions of faith and hope and love and obedience in the body, there are far more that want nothing to do with God. And for that reason, because of the hardness of the heart of our country, whether we like it or not, we will be judged. Now, Dan, that's so harsh. Why do you say that? We're a Christian country. We're really a Christian country. You really think so? Now, Doug, Joe, you remember, I couldn't stomach this, but I did watch on a couple of videos that had it on. You remember at the Democratic Convention when they booed God, when they were going to take God out of the platform?
And three times.
They booed him three times. And in the end, the chairman at that time was the illustrious mayor of Los Angeles. I don't live there, so I can say this. But he ignored them, and he put them back in there because it was so unpopular and taken up. But the fact is, the people's hearts were turned away from God. And just like you and I heard them boo God, God heard them boo him too. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be proactive. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't lay down and die. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't provide for our families and prepare for those things that are coming upon the earth. What it does mean is that these things are inevitable. And I think that's why God told me what he told me about time is at an end. And, now I can look at it in retrospect, but the time of grace is at an end. The time of judgment is at hand. And now, okay, boy, this show's really went down on a downer, but this is important. Because if we're not talking about reality, if we're not talking about the things that can help people to make it through these times that are coming through, then what are we doing? If all we are is pie in the sky and all this bless me and fix my problem stuff, then What are we doing? People need truth. They need reality.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that I see happening this year are substantial changes to the way that we perceive life to be. And what do I mean by that? Our realities are changing. Doug, if your guy at the DHS is only half telling the truth, well, forget that. If he's only a quarter telling the truth, we're in serious trouble. Serious trouble. You know the thing that stuck, there's lots of stuff in that article, but the thing that really jumped out at me from that article was, that cyber attack program that the administration's doing.
Yes.
And what they're calling Obama, what his people are calling him, this shocks me, is the Pharaoh of the Internet. The Pharaoh of the Internet, Doug.
Yeah.
You know, that goes right along with the Greek columns at his christening back when he first got elected. People do not understand who this man is. I'm not going to say he's the Antichrist. I don't think we know. I don't think there's enough information one way or the other to say that. But what I will say is that this man is the man for the hour. And, you know, I've heard you say this, Doug, and I'm going to say this only to repeat what I think you have said. But, and guys, you know, let me do this little disclosure for you. This is Daniel Holding saying this. This is not Doug and Joe Hagman. I know you guys got a bullseye on you already, so you don't need any more help. This is not the network. This is Daniel Holding saying this. I think, without a shadow of a doubt, that election was fixed. He was always going to win that election. Romney was never supposed to win that election. And the reason why I say that is because when people can vote over 100% and over 100% give Obama their votes, that's impossible. And that happened in numerous cities. So
yeah.
It was a foregone conclusion. And we they didn't go back and do a recount. It seemed to me that Romney rolled over. Well, he rolled over because he was never supposed to win.
He didn't want to win. It was obvious that he didn't want to win. We could do a show on that alone. But he was the selected loser, by the way. But go on.
Well, confirm what I've already said, that, you know, he wasn't, the reason that he wasn't supposed to win is because they got the guy. Now, look, I've been a lifelong Republican until I woke up, because I think we have been down this road for a while, and I'm not going to say what president it started at, but I'm going to tell you, both Republicans and Democrats were in on it. If, you know, one of the things that woke me up is I knew the financial world pretty well, but one of the things I did when I was in business and such is I made a mistake, and it was a big mistake at the time, I thought. I read the book Creature from Jekyll Island by Griffin, and G. Edward Griffin. And the problem is, once you read something like that and you have a certain paradigm, you have a certain way of thinking, you can't go back. It's like taking a red pill on the Matrix. You can't go back and say, no, wait, give me the blue pill. Because you actually see how things really are operating. And so...
I've got to say this. I'm glad you brought that book up. That's really the Creature from Jekyll Island, Secrets Revealed of the Federal Reserve, The Naked Capitalist, The Naked Communist, all of these books we need to read for the foundation to see mechanically what's going on today. And one more book that I would recommend, too, for people to grab is by Richard Guy Carr. William Guy Carr. Pawns in the Game. That book was written back in 1954, and it's about the Illuminati plan for today. Bottom line is, all of this is relevant to everything that you're talking about, we're talking about, this entire agenda. And as you put it earlier, too, we're not going to change the outcome. We know how this book, the Book of Life, ends, but, you know, we still have to play our positions and do our things. But go ahead, sir.
Well, here's the thing. It doesn't mean that we don't honor truth. It doesn't mean that we don't proclaim truth. It doesn't mean that we roll over, as I said, and die. What it means is that we walk around with eyes wide open, that this is not, as you said earlier, this is not Kansas anymore. There's a reality to what is going on in the world that we need to accept and embrace. And so many believers, and not even just believers, so many people just roll over and go, well, you know, you people are crazy. I'm just going to watch my Monday night football and, go to work, come back, and I'm good. We all want to live like that, but that's not reality. The reality is that things are changing right before our eyes. And what we are soon to see is a world that we don't even recognize anymore. I was on a show last night with Stan Dale, and actually Stan Dale, Gene Schmidt, who preached with Dimitri Dudeman, now goes around with his grandson, and David Langford. And I sit back and listen to these guys in awe sometimes, because, as I said, I just woke up, guys. Honestly, I don't belong on your radio. Thanks for having me. I'll see you. The point is that these guys are talking about things that they have been talking about for 20 and 30 years. You know Steve Quayle. And I've heard you say, Steve, I thought you didn't say it like this. This is Dan paraphrasing. But you said in a nice way, I thought you were crazy.
No. I told him that directly. I told him, I remember, it was probably our fifth or sixth conversation. I said, look, you know, you're really out there. A couple of things you said that relates to that conversation. A couple of things you said. You know, I guess what really got me here of late is I had a person within the intelligence community sit me down and said, you know, in 2006, you weren't ready to hear this. In 2008, you weren't ready to hear this. Even a year ago, you weren't ready to hear what I'm about to tell you. And then explained to me certain things, and then it caused me to look at everything in a completely different way. But that was after probably, I'm going to say, easy 400 or 500 hours of conversation. Because, you know, you can't really, I mean, it's difficult to say. It would be like going up to someone and say, you know what, a directed energy beam was used to take down the towers on 9/11. And although planes didn't hit it, but the government had this directed energy beam, or something at that level. I'm using that as an example. Perhaps that's a poor example. But the bottom line is this. If suddenly evidence was shown to you or given to you, or in some way you knew it to be true, you look at everything differently from that point forward. And that's where I was, and I think that's where a lot of people had developed into that, you know. So I think I kind of just went off track there, but it's you're just, it's things are not as they appear.
So what does that mean exactly, Doug? Things are not as they appear. You know, you said about a third of the way through the book.
Right.
You've read the tagline. So without giving too much of the story away, what's one of the things that jumps out at you from that book thus far, what you've read?
Well, The implied physics, how's that? I don't want to go too far into the topical matter. Is that a fair characterization? I'm just trying to, if I say implied physics or the implied...
I don't know if you mean the sun, because there's a lot to do with the sun that is going on in those, I can't remember now, in the first few chapters of that book. But in that book, for your audience's benefit, there are significant things that happen throughout the course of the book. And they deal with earth changes.
Right.
There's crazy stuff. Some of the stuff I've taken out of science, right? Some of the stuff that I've taken out of journals and information. There's a subduction zone right off of Oregon and Washington that's a ticking time bomb. And if that thing goes off, there will be a tsunami up on the – now, this is crazy. There'll be a tsunami up on the North Pacific coast of the United States. And they think it's just a matter of time.
Right.
Now, there's the sun. I was – you know, I know you probably had Stan Day on the show before. He fascinates me. That guy's brilliant. But when I was on with him last night, he was talking about what the sun is doing. It's not me. This is him. The solar maximum of the sun is about ready to finish. And what normally happens is that the poles of the sun flip, like we have north and south pole here on the earth. Well, there are north and south poles on the sun, and what normally happens is that its poles will shift. Now, the problem is that our magnetic field of the earth is as we speak. This is not Daniel Holding's fiction. This is truth, folks. As we speak, the magnetic field of the earth is significantly diminishing. You're not going to hear that in mainstream media, but they're talking about it all the time. In fact, there was an article that I just read yesterday, and you see these little blips of these articles on the I read it on the Drudge Report, but they're talking about the potential of a solar flare that will take down the electrical grid of the world, or at least the United States. Now, you know, 10 years ago, Doug, we didn't hear these kind of things. They didn't talk about these kind of things. What I think is happening is that the sun is beginning to do its thing. Because according to Stan Dale, because our magnetic field around the earth, and I'm oversimplifying, he explains it much more eloquently than I can, but because our magnetic field is diminishing, there has been evidence of pole shifts in our history. And contrary to what mainstream science will tell you, generic science, media science, will tell you that these shifts happen over a long period of time, and we see some of that by a wandering North Pole. But the evidence, the geological evidence, is that these poles shift violently over months.
Right.
Now, what Stan Dale was saying is that if that happens on the sun and it catches our magnetic field weakened as it is, it could very well, because you got to understand, Alliance, that there is a magnetic connection between the sun and the earth. There's an electrical connection between the sun and the earth. So if caught just right, it could force our poles to shift, not instantly, but rapidly over months, not thousands of years, over months. Now, why this is significant is because the Bible talks about a time when mountains will be laid flat, when oceans will roar and winds will whip, and it's like this apocalyptic scene. Now, that sure sounds like a pole shift to me. If you think I'm crazy, there's a guy by the name, and Doug, if you've never had this guy on, you really, really have to have this guy on. His name is Brent Miller. Have you ever heard of him, Brent Miller?
No.
No, he said no. I'm sorry. We are. I'm
sorry about that. Yeah, no, Brett Miller.
No, that's
no.
Okay. It's okay. Brett Miller is. I actually heard him on Coast to Coast not too long ago, and he runs a think tank, science think tank. I'm looking for the Horizon Project. He was on in October 2012 of last year, and what he said is that there is scientific evidence of catastrophic pole shifts that are looming on the Earth. So why I say that, again, I'm not here to scare your audience. I'm just telling you that things are ramping up. And the things that we are seeing, so many people, and I wanted to say this and I'll say this now. When we look at our particular field of interest, we look at it with a microscope or a micro view. This is my pet peeve. It's the government. It's tyranny. It's you know, guns. It's abortion, or it's you know, the Constitution, or it's okay. So maybe that's not your thing. Maybe you're into earthquakes. It's about earthquakes. It's about earth changes. It's about you know, sinkholes and storms, you know, out of the blue and crazy stuff like that. So you're focused on that with a micro view. Or, you know, it could be about, you could be thinking in terms of the economy. You know, the economies are going to crash. You know, the dollar can't withstand these currency wars that are happening right now. You know, we're in debt up to our eyeballs and more, and we can never pay that debt back. Or you could be thinking, you know, China and Russia want our land, and Obama is getting ready to lower our defenses so that they can come and take us. Or there's, we can think there's, you know, there's Russian soldiers in the United States. Yeah, I am paying attention, Doug. There's Russian soldiers in the United States, and those guys are here to start something. Okay, so we can look at all that stuff and more, right?
Right.
But what I really want to do tonight, and what I wanted to do in that book, and say, take a step back and go, wait a minute. Are all these things coming together just willy-nilly? Are they just happening out of coincidence all at the same time?
Well, just to be clear, okay, because for the last, okay, since the beginning of the program, you've been talking about like a big picture scenario. And see, this is what I love about your book so far, because you could take all of the headlines, whether they're earth changes or political, geopolitical issues or whatever it is, and overlay that right into your book. You know, now what does Daniel Holdings think? Taking a few steps back and seeing everything, obviously we're in the end times. I mean, you brought up Rabbi Kahn too, which, you know, the Harbinger and such, and some of the issues there, some of the facts there that are just beyond, shall I say, beyond coincidence, and you know, are really divinely or should be divine fingerprints, if you will. But what do you think? Do you think that this has all been orchestrated by man, and as well as orchestrated by God, to take place at this time? I mean, obviously you believe we're living in the end times, right?
Well, Doug, let me say this, that, and I'm going to go back to that scripture that I quoted out of Ephesians. It says, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but we wrestle with principalities, powers, and forces of wickedness in heavenly places. In heavenly places, I've already explained that those heavenly places are right around us. They're dimensional places. What I think is that you are seeing the influence of the demonic and perhaps some Nephilim influence, and we can get into that in the next hour. But what you're doing is you're seeing the influence of these principalities and powers all over the world now. And that influence is darkening. That influence, look, it's not just me. If you ask anybody on the street, there's this and you said it beautifully at the beginning, a sense of foreboding. There is indeed darkness falling, and you can feel it. It's palatable. You know, you look at, if you look at things through a realistic, natural eyes, you think, well, you know, it'll get better in 4 years, and, you know, maybe the economy turn around and jobs, and we'll get somebody. That's not the point. The point is that it is being orchestrated, and it's being orchestrated not by God. So before anybody thinks this, Daniel Holdings is not saying this, God did not do this, but he is allowing this, folks. Why is he allowing this? Because he, well, first of all, the word says that if he didn't cut those days short, that there wouldn't be anybody left. So you think this is bad, it's only going to get worse. But the point is that he is trying to draw all men to him. He's trying to draw people to him, and he's going to give us what we ask for. He's going to give us what we want. You know, I'm reminded out of, I forget, I think it's Kings, but the people and the Israelites wanted a king. God said, I want to be your king. I want to be your king, and they didn't want him. They said, we want a king like all the other people. So he gave him Saul, King Saul. Saul turned out to be one of the most terrible men that they could have dealt with.
Right.
So the point is, if we keep asking God for this, he's going to give us this. Now, it just so happens to correspond with his timeline, because his ultimate goal is to bring back his son so that we can be saved. That's his goal. Now, he can't let these things go on forever. He just can't. And I have people say, oh, we got plenty of time. People tell me we got plenty of time. No, folks, there's not plenty of time. The sands of the hourglass are quickly running out. And the evidence that we are seeing all around us of all of these events, all of these earth changes, all of this trouble that is ramping up is pointing to the fact that very quickly that hourglass will be empty. So what then?
Yeah, what then? We're a couple minutes away from, or actually we're right up against the break here. Some things that I had questions on as I'm browsing through your book that you may want to get into. What is hope doing to the atmosphere, if anything? And also the chemtrails we talked about earlier. The vaccines, we know that we're under a chemical attack, and we know that the New World Order is playing God with everything, from medicine to people to weather. And if we can touch on some of that on the other side on the third hour, that'd be
absolutely
great.
Absolutely.
And we are under judgment, aren't we? I mean, the veil of protection by God has been lifted off of the United States of America, has it not? I mean, would you agree with that?
Well, let me answer that with a question. Did Israel at any time, they were God's people in the Old Testament, at any time were they under judgment? They were God's people.
Well, I would say yes.
Yes, they got judged. In fact, their first temple was destroyed, and their second temple was destroyed in 70 AD, and they were dispersed throughout the whole world.
Right.
Just because we were once the bastion of religious freedom and we spread the gospel, it doesn't mean that we always walk in that. In fact, if you see that, you see arrogance on the part of the American people in general. And why do I say that? I know we're about just a few seconds before the break, but we just came up to, and let me give you one of the biggest issues, and I don't talk much about abortion, but we'll talk about it now. We as a country are responsible for 50 million abortions since Roe v. Wade passed 40 years ago. That's in America. Across the world, we're responsible for a billion deaths, because every time that we give money to a country, we make them change their laws or they get no money. So therefore, we are influencing them, causing them to make abortions, and consequently, the blood of innocents just by death, forget about everything else I just said, just that, the blood of innocents cries out to God, and he won't put up with that for very much longer. He won't. You wouldn't, I wouldn't.
No.
So, yeah, we're under judgment.
And yeah, no, you've made a great point, and a number of examples too. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report. This is a live broadcast. It is the 7th day of February 2013. I'm Doug Hagman in studio with Joe Hagman, my son. We are the Hagman and Hagman Report. Very special guest, Mr. Daniel Holdings, author, As the Darkness Falls. Boy, you got to grab this book, folks. And also, 3 Days in the Belly of the Beast. And that'll be coming out, second edition, shortly. Folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Stay with us.
Hi, folks. Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman and Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines. You just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's canadafreepress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Eileena Johnson-Powe, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at canadafreepress.com. Now mobile friendly, follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free world.
If you're stumped, you don't know what kind of gift to give to a friend or a loved one, I'm telling you, you must go to 4physics.com. That's the numeral 4, PHYSICS.com. This is your one-stop shopping palace. That's the only way I can put it. I could spend easily an hour on this website. Innovative, fun, educational. There are games, books, weather instruments, unique time-telling devices, jewelry, optical devices, laboratory equipment. Let me give you an example. We all know we can tell time with a sundial. You've seen those advertised. Did you know that you could tell time by the stars? At 4physics.com, you can buy a Horologium Nocturnum. This was a navigational device used in the 15th century by navigators at night to tell time by the stars. It's beautifully crafted in the shape of a pendant made of bronze and pewter or gold and silver. Absolutely a stunning gift. I would be proud to give it to anyone. You must go to 4physics.com. Even if you're not stumped, that's 4physics. That's the numeral 4, PHYSICS.com. It's your one-stop shopping palace. Any problems that you have, I don't know what to get Grandpa, I don't know what to get my loved one, that's unique, you will find it at 4physics.com. Please take my word for it. Go to the website, but give yourself a lot of time because you're not going to want to leave 4physics.com.
You better wake up fast and listen to this, America. The Obama campaign has launched attack squads disguised as truth teams dedicated to intimidating and silencing all political dissent carried over the internet that criticizes the Marxist Obama. Truth Squad specifically focused on covering up Obama's endless trail of lies, corruption, and subversion, and using the Gestapo power of our own government to police and censor the internet and shut down websites that dare to carry the real truth about Obama's Marxist coup. Remember the names of these Gestapo-style agencies at work right there in your neighborhood: KeepingHisWord.com, KeepingGOPHonest.com, and AttackWatch.com. KGB, SS, and Gestapo-style police state gangster organizations at work to silence the important voices of patriot dissent, some of which have already been shut down by Obama's orders. Adolf Hitler would have been proud. We're the 21st century Tea Party Patriots.
Doug Hagman. One guy that doesn't need a bullhorn to get your attention.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the third and final hour of this Thursday, February 7th, 2013 edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report. We are joined by our very special guest, Mr. Daniel Holdings, author of As the Darkness Falls. And we have covered so much, you have covered so much information, Mr. Holdings, in the first 2 hours. And I want to kind of circle back around, if we can, so we can sum this up so people can understand a little bit better what is going on, what you know to be going on. Where I stopped at the end of the last hour about HARP. There's a lot of different theories on HARP, whether it causes weather manipulation. Some say it's burning up the atmosphere. And some say, you know, it's part of the whole chemtrail thing. And what do you know what HARP is doing, what dangers it poses to our atmosphere, to our world, to our weather?
Well, Joe, I would dare say that no one really knows what HARP is doing or what it's for. I've heard what you all have probably heard. It can indeed cause earthquakes. There is evidence of that. It certainly manipulates weather. If you looked at the Sandy hurricane, they tracked HARP signatures as the hurricane followed that thing. So there's certainly weather manipulation in there. I just touched on an article from Before It's News. I should specify that to your audience. Before It's News, where it talked about HARP, it was from an article May 22nd of 2012, where HARP, the physicist Francis De Aquino, talked about HARP can actually manipulate time. So I think, and there are other accounts that HARP can be used as a TELSA weapon. So I think, and of course there's a standard, government disclosure about HARP that it's used for, communications and ionospheric experiments and the like. But I don't think that we really know what it is and what it can do. And dare I say, I don't know that we will ever really know on this side of the veil, because I do believe this much, Doug, that Joe, that device is for a specific reason, and I believe that we are only beginning to see some of the effects of that device when they really crank it up and really begin to utilize it like they want to utilize it. It could very well be too late, and we're going to see. But I've already touched on the fact that, I believe that they're probably preparing the atmosphere for this dimension, I should say, for the opening of those portals, which has already begun. Which leads me to this. I know you have a couple more questions, but one of the things that I think we needed to touch on was what are they preparing those portals for? And what are we seeing now? Now, you guys did this amazing interview, and I've listened to it a couple times with Tom Horn and Steve Quayle about Tom's ExoVaticana work, and I've been following those things that he's put out on his website. Folks, what you need to understand is that all of these things are being geared for that. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, the Bible talks about that in the last days that there will be this great deception cast upon the world, that even believers in Yeshua, followers of God, would be deceived. Now, how can that be? Joe, that's a crazy question. How can that be? How can people that have been believers for most of their lives, for decades, walk away from God? How is that going to happen?
Well, that's a good question, and I want to give a short answer. I have a few theories. One, we see this new world order system taking care of putting together the one world government. That system either brings about the Antichrist and the false prophet, deceiving and we're already that. That being said, we're already in the Great Deception with the churches not doing what they're supposed to do. People who claim to be Christians in the body of a church, you know, just go to church on Sundays and stay out of their Bible, stay away from the word, and closer to the world. Or another theory is the New World Order system is destroyed by whoever comes on the scene posing as a savior, you know. But if I had to guess, it could be a little bit of both, but we are already under great deception, but I feel that there is a much greater deception coming.
Well, it's very astute. You hit the nail right on the head with your statement. You think it's a little of both. I think it's a little of all of it. Because here's the thing that we need to understand. The New World Order is, first of all, let me just make this crazy comment. I think the New World Order is not only demonically influenced. I think they could be, how can I say this without, well, I'm already considered crazy, so I'll just say it. I think there are probably modern-day Nephilim are genetically enhanced people that are part of the New World Order. And if you understand that those Nephilim or those enhanced people don't have souls, that they are, in fact, half demonic, then it stands to reason that their physical presence in the towers of power, the seats of power around the world, are greatly influencing our everyday lives. So that said, When we talk about the New World Order, it is only a stepping stone to where they want to get to. Folks, the New World Order is not all powerful. Okay, they are men. They are people that perhaps have some outside help, but the fact is that there's more of us than there is of them. And they know this. They're biding their time. They're setting up the things that they need to see happen before they can really clamp down on the general populace. Along the way, people are going to die. That's awful crude, Daniel. Why would you say such a thing? Because you asked me about heart. You asked me about weather wars. You asked me about those kind of things. A lot of these things are designed when they pull the trigger, and they're getting very close to pulling the triggers, to take out whole swaths of the population. Because Steve Quayle's so eloquently said, we're just eaters to them. So if they can control the population, then they can begin to assert their control over the public in general. Now, why do I say that? And I don't know if you've gotten to this part in the book, but I will talk about this part. I say that because it comes right out of their playbook. Doug, have you gotten to the part where it talks about the Georgia Guidestones?
No, and don't ruin it for me.
No, it's just, well, you'll see it. It's only a little snippet, but it's part of why I think we're headed in the direction that we're headed. The Georgia Guidestones, folks, and many of you probably already know it, the Georgia Guidestones are a modern-day monolithic structure placed by anonymous people in the middle of a mountain in Georgia, and it has 10 commandments in like 6 or 7 different languages. The very first commandment on that says to maintain the population at 500 million in perfect balance with nature.
Right.
Now, Doug, you're good with numbers. What's the population right now?
Boy, at least 1,000 people. No, seriously. what is it? 6.5 million?
7 billion.
We just hit the
7 billion mark just this last year. 7 billion people, which means that if they want to maintain a population of 500 million in perfect balance with nature, that means that they got to kill off 90% of people, 85% of people.
Right.
Now, how are they going to go about doing that? You got to remember, these people are sucked into their ideology. They believe this is the way to go. They wholeheartedly believe that. Joe, just to answer your question, I believe that they are lining things up for that very thing to happen. And that's not my words. That's them. That is their Bible. That's not mine.
Okay.
They're the ones.
But now you strike a good chord here. How are they going to do that? Is it through a world war? Is it through a combination of things? Or, I mean, how would you do that?
I think, obviously I don't know, I don't have any insiders in the NOW, but NWR, I should say, but what I think it is all those things, Doug, honestly.
Okay.
Because when you talk about HAARP, it has the ability. Now, let me just lay this out for you, and that's not in the book, by the way, but it has the ability to cause earthquakes. It has the ability to do weather modifications. There are people that are actually saying that's what's happening right now with the crazy weather that we're having. So you have the man-made technology to cause natural disasters. And you know, if you believe some of the sources, you can see evidence of that. That said, you have the DHS purchasing. Now, you're good at this. How many bullets do they have now? Just remind me. I don't recall.
About four per person. 1.6 billion now, adding about 21 million to that?
Yeah, ultimately about four for every man, woman, and child in the United States, according to the latest numbers.
So, why?
And that's what we know.
So, first of all, you know, the DHS, and correct me if I'm wrong, the DHS is like TSA, right? The DHS, they don't carry guns. So what do they need all the bullets for?
Well, let me just kind of correct you a little bit. The DHS is an umbrella organization of other law enforcement agencies who do carry guns. So, you know, you could be a DHS, you could be under the control of DHS as a law enforcement officer, but that's true. A DHS official does not carry a gun. So you're correct in that. But
the umbrella agencies do, the Border Patrol,
yeah.
EPA, all these,
yeah.
And I think they're trying to arm the TSA, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but you're right, Daniel. I mean, the question's germane here. You know, why? And I think we know the answer to that, don't we? I think we can extract.
I think it's all of those things in answer to your question. I think it is man-made. I think it is technology. I think it is tyranny. And it's, you know, as well as I do, the issues that we are having, the debate, well, it's not much of a debate, but the debate amongst the politicians about taking away guns, same thing happened in Australia just a few years ago. You know, there's no guns in Europe for, you know, it might be a few guns, but the populace in general doesn't have guns. So you have this push that they are trying to literally disarm so that they become tyrants over the people. And then, you know, your guess is as good as mine what they do after that. But the point is that, you know, we have their map. They, you know, Steve Quayle says this all the time, that they tell us what they're going to do and they laugh at us. Actually, I just lost what I was going to say. The guy... Alex Jones. Alex Jones says this all the time. He says, you know, they laugh at us. They tell us what they're going to do, and then they laugh at us, right? Here's the thing. They've already given us their playbook. Now, what we need to be asking, see, we're asking the wrong question, I think. We're asking, well, what do they intend on doing all those things? Well, we know, because they've already told us. But what happens after that? What is their ultimate goal? Their ultimate goal is just not ruling, you know, empty nations, you know, they have power, they have money. Now, they could want more power, that's understandable. But their ultimate goal, I believe, now this is just me, I don't have anything to substantiate this answer, but their ultimate goal is to drive us into the arms of someone. Now, because listen to what I just said, to drive us into the arms of someone. We think their ultimate goal is to kill us and to take our stuff, to take our land, to take our food. No, they have power. They have money. They could get more, but it's just more of the same. Their goal was to drive us into the arms of someone. Now, who would that one be? Who would that be? Well, let's just go back to your conversation with Steve Quayle and Tom Horn. That guy is brilliant, by the way. Thank you for having him on, and please have him on again, because that guy boggles my mind. I've read some of his books, and it's just phenomenal the way his mind works. But the point is that I think we are being prepared to accept an outside savior when the world gets so bad and we are on the brink of destruction. I think that we will see L.A. Marzulli talks about this, this great deception. We will see a savior, not in the form of a human being, but in the form of aliens, UFOs. Okay, so Dan, you're really nuts. You just drove off the cliff. Now you sound like one of those kooks. Really? What, for the listener that says that, all you have to do is to look at the increased extraterrestrial activity. And I'm not a UFO nut. I've never been abducted. I think I saw one once when I was a kid, but that's beside the point. I'm not one of those guys. I'm just telling you, based upon those things that I've read and I've learned, based upon what I heard Tom Horn say on your very show, we are being prepared to accept them. Now, what better time for them to come is when we're almost ready to destroy ourselves, and they come and they give us free energy and help us live forever, or whatever the case may be. And what if they begin to change our DNA by whatever vaccines they give us to live forever and fix us? Then we become no longer human or less human. Now, you think that's crazy, audience? For the audience, the part of the audience that doesn't know this, for the rest of you that do know this, I'm just going to, if you bear with me, if I asked you, why did God send the flood to destroy the earth the first time? Why did he do that? People would say because it was, the world was wicked. It was evil. Jesus said in Matthew 24 that it would be as in the days of Noah. And when you look back in Genesis 6 and it talks about the days of Noah, what it says is that the Nephilim were on the earth in those days and there so afterward. Now, what are the Nephilim? I don't want to go into a big Bible study here, but the Nephilim are hybrids. Hybrids. It's the very same thing that we see in if you're looking in some of the news headlines today, it's what we're creating, hybrids. The hybrids of pigs and sheep or whatever the case may be. But we're creating hybrids. But the Nephilim were half fallen angel, genetically half fallen angel and half woman. Fallen, and it's not me, it's the Bible. Don't blame me. The Bible says that these fallen angels came and they mated with women. That actually, these women were given to them to mate. And their offspring was called the Nephilim. Now, and then it says that Noah was, I'm going to mess up this the verse because I'm not looking at it, but it says that Noah's heart was pure or something. If you look at the original language, what it meant was that he was genetically pure. His family was genetically pure. So God rescued the only genetically pure people in the world to put them on an ark and kill off all the Nephilim, which it actually didn't happen because they showed up later in Goliath and all this other stuff. But the point is that the earth was destroyed because flesh was corrupted. Now, if you are looking at some of the things that Tom Horn has put out, he blows my mind. He wrote a book that I read a couple of years ago, Forbidden Gates. It is scary because it's the stuff, this is the very same thing that our scientists are doing, that they're doing at Noah. Not Noah as in the boat, Noah as in the organization. But the very same thing that they're doing. And so when Tom Horn and Chris Putnam begin to talk about the Vatican looking out into space with a Lucifer device and they think something is headed our way, then it begs the question, what are they looking for and why? I think that they already know something's coming this way. They already expect this. Maybe they're deceived. Maybe they don't know who it is. Maybe they're in cahoots. I don't know. The point is that things will get so bad here that when they show up, they will be welcomed with open arms. And
yeah,
that's
a great question. Well, yeah. And, you know, the one issue I've got with this, okay, Illuminati, for example, the way I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, they believe that they're this special bloodline. And we can, and I know people can argue and disagree about this or whatever. It doesn't matter what we believe or it doesn't matter what we think. It matters what they think. Okay, so this one world order, new world order, the governance, this special crowd, if you will, they believe that they're the bloodline of Jesus Christ, for example. And, okay, now follow me on this. So that's what they believe. And at some point, okay, they're going to be able to prove it. And I say prove it, obviously, in quotation marks, through DNA evidence in some way, shape, or form, so that they are when they establish the Antichrist, if you will, it's going to be the person, the undeniable savior, I guess. And I chopped that up a little bit, but is that your understanding of how things are? I mean, how things would be?
Well, you know, I guess that is one take on it. I don't know if you've seen Watchers 5, but Elie Marzulli did a segment in Watchers 5, and he talked about the spear of destiny. And, you know, he had a guy on there that talked about, you know, this spear, and that's a whole different discussion.
Right.
But the people that possessed that spear, it was handed down through Hitler's reign, and these people came into contact. These people called themselves the sons of the Nephilim, and they're real people. They really think that.
Exactly. Okay, and that's kind of where I was going. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Doug.
No. It's. I think we're on the same wavelength here, on the same page. And I've talked to Steve about this in the past, and Nathan Leal. When you're talking about these this group, and by the way, I would also suggest too, what does this group want? The one world over, new world over people, the people who want to the Georgia Guidestones people, if you will. They're attempting to buy the future, and they think that they're going to essentially live, or be able to be live forever through various means, through DNA manipulation and what have you. It's kind of a really sick, twisted thought process of these people. But that doesn't, once again, it doesn't matter what we believe, it matters what they believe. And that's kind of where I was at with this. So, and I don't want to convolute your thought process or the conversation. So go ahead and continue.
I think that's a good point, because not what we believe, it's what they believe. Here's the thing: they are no question demonically influenced, right? And you know the thing about folks. Okay, right, let's break it down, because we have about a half hour left, so we need to get real here. We need to get serious, as if we haven't been serious the whole time. But we need to break it down so people can understand what we were looking at. Because,
right,
again, we look at things on a micro scope of things, and I want to take a step back and look at the macro. Because we need to understand that these people are demonically influenced. However way you cut it, whether they're Nephilim, whether they're insane, whether they're power hungry. Here's the thing about the devil. Okay, here's the thing about the enemy. He will. He craves power. He's greedy. He is hateful. He's evil. Now, if you have people being influenced by him in some way, shape, or form, they're going to be all those things, to the point where they're even deluded in their own mind, thinking that they are the sons of the Nephilim or whoever. Okay, doesn't matter if they are or they aren't. The fact is they have an agenda, and we are subject to that agenda because at the moment they're in power. So here's the point. The things that are coming upon the earth, the things that we are about to see, with your, the things that your DHS informant let you know about and that you shared, the things that we are about to see if Tom Horn and Chris Putnam are right, the things that we're about to see in the Middle East as it's about ready to blow up with a full-scale world war, these things are driving us to a point in history, and I don't think it's an accident. This is not, gee, everything's the perfect storm. No, it's not a perfect storm. It is the storm. And what we need to understand, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, that's a great way to put it. It is the storm, and that's a terrific way to put it, and people need to understand exactly that. Go ahead.
So here's the thing, okay, because one of the things that I purposed on doing, as I try to do anytime I'm on the radio, because if we all talk about doom and gloom and, you know, this is just about tickling people's ears and freaking them out for the sake of, you know, putting them on, then I'm not being effective, okay? I am a science fiction writer. I'm a fiction writer, thriller writer, so I want a techno-fiction writer. So I do want to entertain, but the fact is that at the end of the day, that entertainment has to serve a purpose. It has to be for a reason. So we need to talk brass tacks here, okay? Because I talked about it at the very beginning. And Joe, you know what? I just realized something. You said you had a couple questions. I only answered one. Was there anything else you wanted to cover before I went on?
No, I think what you're about to get into is what we need to hear.
Yeah, I think we can tighten it up and focus with what you're going to say. Daniel, go ahead. I don't want to interrupt.
Oh, thank you. Feel free to interrupt because I want it to be a dialogue. And, you know, if it's just me badgering and preaching, that's not a good thing. That's not effective. So please feel free to interrupt if you're so inclined. The point is that these things are coming upon the earth. And Jesus said that they would come upon the earth. Now, I know you have a broad base of listeners. Some of them are believers, Christians. Some of them, I suppose that there are probably three different tiers of people that listen to your show. There are those from a religious standpoint. There are those people that are Christians, that are strong Christians, that are on their face before God, that continue to talk to him and continually in his word. Doesn't mean they're better. That's just their lifestyle, okay? There are those that are churchgoers, and they sometimes get in the word. They live good. They try to be good. But for the most part, if they're not the first group. And then, of course, there's the last group that are not believers. And believe me, folks, I was there for a long time, so I'm not being disparaging. That's just the way I see it. There are three groups. Now, here's the thing. It doesn't matter what group you're in. What, Daniel? What are you saying? It doesn't matter. No, not from the standpoint of this discussion, because Doug, Joe, we're all going to go through this. It doesn't matter a hill of beans if you go to church every Sunday or if you haven't visited church in 30 years. It doesn't matter, because we are all going to see these things come about. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And so in the world, we make a decision. I'm going to defend my family. I'm going to defend my property. I'm going to, you know, do whatever that you think is appropriate, that you think is the right thing to do. But at the end of the day, we all have to walk through this. Now, what is the difference between those people in the second and third category compared to the difference for the people in the first category. Remember, the first category of those people that are on their face, that realize who they are in God, that they're no better than anybody, that they repent on a regular basis, that they seek his face and they continually talk to him. They ask for his guidance or his word. That doesn't mean they're better. That's their lifestyle, okay? The other people, they got a good heart, but they don't really talk to him. They don't really read his word. They certainly don't repent, because repenting is when you do something really bad. But let me just make a comparison between the second group and the first group. Doug, I'm going to put you on the spot. How long have you been married?
Joe, he's been married for... Go ahead.
Yes, you.
Oh, well, yes, both of us. But I've been married for 25 years.
25 years. And Joe, I remember when you got married just after I started listening.
last year.
And I've been married about 30 years. So let me ask you guys a question. Now, we're guys. This is guys. Okay, ladies, you can stop listening for a moment because this is guy talk. You guys, if you went home and you just kind of looked at your wife and then you went on to watch TV and get on the computer, stick your nose in a book, and talk to her the rest of the day, when she came home and said, well, tell me about your day, you know, how you feeling, she would think you're mad at her. She would think you're shying her on. She would think something. Well, let me ask you a question. What would your relationship be with her if you did that on a regular basis, on a daily basis?
Well, you just described my day. No, seriously. obviously you would have trouble on the domestic front, and you trouble with the relationship. And I think I see where you're going with this, but yeah, go ahead.
Here's the thing. When people ask me what religion I am, I tell them I'm not religious. You will know that I haven't really called myself a Christian. I believe in Christ, and he is my Savior. But, you know, Christian's a label, right? I will tell you this, that the people in the first group are married to him. It is a relationship. It is, and when I talk about being on your face, when I talk about being in the Word, when I talk about speaking with them on a regular basis, make sure your heart's right before them. It's the way that a good marriage works. I talk to my wife on a regular basis. There are times I stop what I'm doing because she wants to talk to me, as you guys do too, because obviously you're still married, so that's the way it happens.
Right.
So we do things in this relationship that's give and take, and it's a real pragmatic thing. That is what I'm talking about.
I'd call you a Christian. I mean, based on your, you might not call yourself a Christian because of the label, but I'd call you a Christian because you would meet the definition of a Christian, unless I'm missing something here.
No. I call myself a Christian too. Don't get me wrong. But the point is that label is misused, because I will tell you, In that second group, and folks, please, don't take this wrong. I'm not trying to preach at you. I'm just giving you the truth. Time is running out, and time is too short not to be serious with you. So you need to hear the truth. Okay? There are people in the second group. They call themselves Christians. Okay? And they never talk to their Savior. They don't spend time in the Word. They don't acknowledge the Holy Spirit doing something in their heart. Now, as I said, the first group is no better than the second group. This is not, gee, I'm better than you, and I got a badge to go to heaven. That's not what I'm talking about. There are people in the second group that love God, but they don't know how to love God. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now, why am I even talking about these things? Because a time is coming when things will be so serious, you will not know where to go to get food. You will not know where to go to keep your family safe. You will not know which way to turn. And if you don't know Christ's voice, if you don't know the Holy Spirit in your life, if you don't know his voice, you will not know what to do. That's the point. It's time for the Christian, for the believer, to stop playing around. Time is on an end. That's what the Lord said.
Go ahead, Joe. You're going to say you're right.
I was going to say exactly right. People need to worry so much about what's going on in the news and what's going on and all the things that are going to come upon us. But a lot of the people that do that fail to have a relationship with the Lord first. And regardless of what walk of life you come from, first and foremost, important in your life should be your relationship with the Lord and learning what he said and what is in the Bible, sound doctrine, and you go from there. And any information that goes against that, I mean, you take all information to the Lord, regardless.
Well, right, and that's a foundation for everything, and then
right.
you say you go from there.
But that's how to start. We can't, you know, and I'm not just saying this in general. People have all these, there's new age theories, there's old new age theories, old age theories, old religions. I mean, everything somebody would want, a human would want, there's basically a religion or a belief system out there that will, you know, that's for them. But there's only one true God, and we know who that is. And if we do not repent and live in obedience and make it a daily practice to be better, nothing else matters.
That's well said, Joe. Nothing else matters. For the third group is non-believers. Obviously, I'm going to tell you that you need Yeshua. You need Yeshua HaMashiach, and you need Jesus. And he is there for the taking. I'm telling you, all you got to do is be awesome. Sit down on your bed or on the couch or whatever by yourself. Turn the noise off. Turn the music off. Turn the TV off. Spend some time with him and dare him. I dare you, God, to show me that you're real. And guess what, non-believer? He will show you. And he will show you because that's him. That's who he is. He loves you, and he'll show you. So enough said about that. But the point is that, you know, when we are facing these things, the Bible talks about a peace that surpasses all understanding. And there's also a verse, and I don't have it in front of me, so I can't remember, but I'm going to paraphrase it. It says, do not be fearful like unbelievers are when you see those things coming upon you. So here's the thing, okay? We are all in the same boat. We are all going to see these things. So you have a choice, listener. Do you walk through those things being fearful, or do you walk with the peace of God in your life? The only way to get that peace of God is to be on your face, to repent, to talk to him. There's no two ways about it. This is not microwave Christianity. You can't go to church, punch your ticket, and then you're good for a week. No. You know, if you, Doug, went to work and you just said, you kissed your wife on the cheek and you left and you came back and you ignored her the rest of the day, she'd say, well, what's wrong with you? And you said, well, I kissed you this morning. That should be enough. What would you do? She'd say, make your own dinner and sleep on the couch or something like that.
I like your characterization of microwave Christianity, by the way. And I think that applies very, very well to all of us. But not all of us, but all of society. But wow. But yeah, you're right. You know, you're exactly right. I got to tell you, we've got about 18 minutes left of the show. We covered a lot of ground here. Wow. Okay. Continue with, okay, so we went through the three types, basically, three types of people, the full believers, I mean, those who have a personal relationship with their Savior, the second type, the churchgoers, the third type, the non-believers. And you said if the non-believers ask Jesus, their Savior, to be shown or to show himself, basically, in faith, that'll happen. That's where we're at with this, right? I mean, okay.
That's exactly right. That's a good summary.
All right. Now that said, okay, we're coming into a time period here, and as Joe and I go through the news, the white noise of the headlines, you know, it's almost like, and I have to tell you this, I kind of did jump ahead a little bit in your book, and it was kind of going through, you know, little tidbits here and there just to kind of get my appetite for a lot of portions of the book, but everything that we're seeing today, and by the way, folks, I would urge everyone to buy, even though I'm only like a third of the way through this book, I can tell you right now what I've read, plus what I've, the little cheat in the head portions. It's a fantastic book because it does grab the things in the news today that are in the book, and what you've heard tonight, and this is the other thing, what you heard tonight, the passion of this author, the passion of this man, is reflected in the words. Just the way you're talking is the way you wrote that book. I hope you don't mind me saying that, but that's as you spoke tonight. I felt the passion tonight as I felt in that book, or vice versa.
Thank you for saying.
But okay, go ahead. I took you off. I took you off a certain course, sir. I didn't really.
No, that's fine. I made my point. I appreciate you saying that. Those books, hopefully, will give. They're entertaining, and it's designed to be entertaining. I think the Holy Spirit designed them that way. Again, they're not faith-based books, folks. I mean, there's truth in there from the Word, but it's not filled with Scripture, and it's not hit you over the head with the Bible. It's not what it's about. It's about giving you truth and seeing and showing you how they fit together with today's current events and the Word. So my hope is that as you read those books, audience, that you will learn things to help you through these times that are coming, that you will begin to understand what is coming upon the earth. Because God's not, He doesn't hate us. He loves us. That's the bottom line. But He can't let things go the way they're going. And as we approach this season, we are all going to be confronted with just painful things. So, I'm going to plug a music group here. I don't do this normally, but one of my favorite groups is called the Jesus Culture. That sounds kind of hippie, but they're not really hippie. It's a great worship group if you've ever heard of them, but there's a lady that sings on the Jesus Culture. They've not paid me for this endorsement, by the way. It's just free. But there's a lady. Her name is Kim Walker, and she's one of the lead singers of Jesus Culture. And I appreciate her singing. I appreciate the worship, and I think it's great. But one of the things that really grabs me about her is her transparency about her relationship with Christ. She, and they have these, I've never been to one, but they have these conferences. And one conference, she spoke to these group of people. And she made this comment in the middle of her teaching. She said, the Lord challenged me. And He said to me, this is her talking, that He asked me if I would be willing not to hold an offense against Him. If I would be willing not to hold an offense against Him. And she went on to explain that, look, things happen in our lives. Bad things happen. A loved one dies. You lose your house. You lose your job. The kids go crazy. Something bad. Whatever. What we have a tendency to do is, God, because you weren't paying attention to me, that means you don't love me, and I'm mad at you. I'm not going to talk to you, or I don't believe you anymore. So that's what we do, and we're human. That's what we do, okay? But her point to the audience was, don't let the things in your life become a barrier to your relationship with God, even when they're bad. So, folks, here's the point. We are coming into a time when we are seeing, when we will see and experience not only job loss, not only homes being lost, not only hungers, but we will see things. And my challenge to you tonight is to not let those things interfere with your relationship. There are things that I wouldn't be married 30 years if there were times that I didn't overlook something my wife did, and vice versa, that she did, that I've done to her. That's love. That's real love. That's commitment.
Right.
And that's what Christ asked of us. He asked us to be committed beyond our own individual circumstance. And when you are able to walk like that in a relationship with Him, He will not only give you peace, He will not only guides you to where to go, what to do, what to say, and how to be, how to act, how to live, you are able to continue to walk through things with him. And you won't be one of those. Here's the point. You won't be one of those that fall away in the great deception. Because, folks, that is coming. And when that comes upon the earth, the word says that even the very elect could be lost. So it's really important that as we enter into these times, that regardless of what's going on, maintain that close relationship with God. If you don't have one, if you have a lukewarm relationship, and you know who you are. I'm not pointing a finger at you. The Bible says that. I think we're living in the Laodicean church times in Revelation, where it talks about it in Revelation. So, and it says there that if we are lukewarm, then he'll spit us out of his mouth. He wished that we were either hot or cold, but because we're lukewarm, he'd spit us out. I don't want to be that guy.
Right.
So maintain that close relationship. And if you don't know him, honestly, look, okay, all the religiousness aside, you know where you're at. You know what your heart is. You know the pain that you have. You know the need. And you know the anger that you have. You have to decide to put it aside for a second and challenge him to make him show himself to you. I don't mean physically show himself. Talk to your heart, and he will. He will, because he loves you. So, anyway, I know that we're running out of time here, and I so much appreciate you guys having me on. As I said, I have been honored to be here with you. You guys do such great work, and I appreciate you and Joe so much.
I think what the listeners really, I think this is a great investment of time, because you've gone over so many things, we've touched so many different issues. You know, people. And a lot of times when people see authors coming onto radio shows, it's like an infomercial for their book. Isn't it amazing that you, now I've got to say this, you've talked a lot about what's in your book without even mentioning your book, but this is what you'll get in, folks, you just got a sense of Daniel Holding's book. That is for sure.
Yeah, for those that want to pick it up, it's called As the Darkness Falls, Things Are Not What They Seem.
And you know what? If Mr. Holdings, Daniel, if I could say this, you did a marvelous job of painting the picture that things are not as they seem in tonight's program. Because if people listen carefully, and you might want to re-listen to this broadcast, folks, if people listen carefully, HARP, chemtrails, you name it. Nephilim, the spirit of the Antichrist, basically through the Illuminus, through the Illuminati. I mean, this is not only what your book is about, but this is really the heart of the great deception that we're living in. So, I mean, you did a fantastic job. There's just so much information that you imparted tonight, without really making this an infomercial for your book, which we appreciate. Any closing thoughts, my friend?
Well, as I said, those books are not mine, Doug and Joe. I mean, I would be, and I don't want to sound too spiritual or whatever, but God gave me those. And because God gave me those, that information needs to get out for his sake, not necessarily mine. Do I want you to buy the book? Yeah, I want you to buy the book. And go to the site, take a look at it. There's excerpts on there, and take a look at the movies. I think they're kind of cool. But for the most part, you need to hear the message. The message is time is very, very short, my friends. And as we walk through these days, you don't have to walk alone. You don't. You don't have to be fearful. You don't. Okay, do those things that you need to do to prepare. But in preparing, don't forget the one that we will all face one day. And that's Jesus Christ. So please, enjoy the books. but let it be more than just entertainment for you, because there's truth in there. And I think that truth will help you now and in the hereafter.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Mr. Holdings, it's been a privilege to have you on, and I want to thank you. And after my dad's done with this book, I will take a look at it and read it. And
yeah, in fact, I'm gonna finish it here in the next couple of days. It is a good read, and I'm gonna say you're a very talented writer, but quite the speaker as well, very eloquent, and got your message across. And you know what? You're right. I mean, this is bigger than all of us. That we don't have to be alone. Even if we are physically alone, we don't have to be alone.
Yeah, we're not in control of what's happening, what's going to happen. We only have one thing to worry about, and that is our salvation. And that is key.
Yeah. Mr. Holden, I want to thank you very much for your appearance. And once again, folks, it's the book is As the Darkness Falls. And, of course, visit HomelandSecurityUS.com. From there, check the top article, and you can visit the author's website from our website. I got to tell you, oh, by the way, the website is DanielHoldings.com. And, again, Mr. Holdings, it was a pleasure to have you. I just want to say God bless you. God bless your family. Thank you for your investment of time this evening.
Thank you so much, Deb and Joe. And listeners, thank you for hanging in for the time. I just I wish peace on you, shalom, for all of you. Thank you for having me.
All right. God bless you, my friend.
You too.
All right. That was Daniel Holdings, ladies and gentlemen. In the final minutes of the program, we just want to cover a couple of topics.
There are some things going on. We mentioned the bullets earlier. The Department of Homeland Security purchased another 1.6 million rounds of bullets. Also, this storm panic hits Bank of America. They would say, get cash. There's an ATM runs.
See, and this is how it's look.
And then we have even worse economic news that we weren't able to get into tonight due to the guests, but we will hit it tomorrow. The Treasury has printed, let me make sure I got this right.
Yeah, get this right. We want to make sure that all those zeros are there. Oh, man.
Yeah, okay, the Fed has bought more debt, government debt this year than the Treasury has issued. Also, former Treasury Secretary, or U.S. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner, set to join the Council on Foreign Relations, as if he wasn't already a member.
Set to join the CFR.
Yep, later this month.
Well, also special. Yeah, I got my. Did you get your invitation? I got my invitation.
No, I missed out on that one. There is a situation going on with an officer, an ex-officer in California. This is something we wanted to talk about.
We're going to talk about this tomorrow, because there's something, Joe. There's something about this.
Yeah.
Well, manifesto. Does that sound like anything?
But did you notice he's a gun control advocate and Obama supporter?
I did not notice that.
Yeah.
No.
It's weird, the news that's coming out of that story. Also, currency wars return 1930 style. That's a D.C. news article. Also, there's a huge storm on the northeast that's coming. They're calling for 10 to 20 inches of snow, 2 to 4 feet in some places like Boston. Doesn't look good. You guys stay safe over there. It's going to just miss us. But tomorrow we'll be back.
With a lot of news. And by the way, folks, our website is back up. I won't get into what happened there. Just say nothing good. And for those of you who are concerned about Mr. Keith Hansen reportedly having some legal trouble or whatever, being arrested or whatever, that's just wherever that came from, it's a bogus story. Mr. Hansen is just fine, well, and good.
Yeah.
Nothing has happened, and so if you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry about it.
Tomorrow will be a free-for-all Friday.
Free-for-all Friday tomorrow.
Your call.
News. Analysis.
Yep, it'll be a good day.
And then I want to say hello to Rocco, too. Rocco, God bless you, my friend.
Yeah, I second that.
All right.
And then just a quick announcement. Next Thursday, Nathan Liao will be on the 14th.
And by the way, the 21st, Dr. Judy Wood, about the towers? Where did the author of Where Did the Towers Go?
And we'll have other guests in between there. Thanks for joining us tonight. God bless each and everyone. See you.